Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Tuesday, April 20th. Thank you for joining me today. I'm happy to be here today. There's a lot of important things to talk about. We're going to talk about primarily some really alarming things that I just recently saw from a couple different points. One is the New York Times essentially admitting that the dangers of COVID-19 are overblown. And this is reported from one side or another in different ways. We just talked about how Bloomberg is referencing this information. But now we're going to get into the information itself and show you what I think it really shows us. That they're admitting that people lost the two-party paradigm are completely lost about facts. Isn't that funny? I'll show you exactly why, as you probably already know. You know, science, as in trust the science, that's saying the COVID-19 vaccine is linked to herpes. And this might be what we're seeing in these breaking out, you know, cowpox-type looking things, because this is how it can look different in different parts of your body. We'll go into that as well. And it is just a link. It isn't absolutely verified just yet. But whether it's being tied to or linked to, it's ultimately something that we should be talking about that should be another reason to be pumping the brakes. But no, and no matter what they find, well, the benefits outweigh the risks, even though the risks continue to compound and we keep finding new ones. But we somehow know that the risks aren't enough, even though we don't know them all yet because we're still testing this thing, to outweigh the benefits. It's ridiculous. But that's what we keep hearing. Now, we're also going to talk about Ireland, actually early in the show today, in regard to information, a study that was done by not the primary official locations in Ireland, but from somebody who has the right to speak on these things and did a study in regard to the official numbers and came out and showed us that, in fact, in his opinion, based on the study, that their death numbers are less in 2020 than in 2019. In fact, all the way since 2012. Interesting. I'll let you decide for yourself, as we tend to do on this show, you know, allow you to think and come to your own conclusions. And we'll go through this information. But let's start, as we do, with some interesting points that will, as always, be relevant to the larger discussion today. But the first one, I'm sure it's not lost on anybody, of course, that, oh my God, this big trial has been going on. And I don't care at all, to be completely honest. Not that I don't care about the fact that somebody died or the fact that there's racism or the fact that just there's all sorts of horrible things happening around the police and our government. And yeah, we all know this stuff, guys. The fact that this one trial is being so overblown and so focused on is because they want it that way. It's the same point. I mean, do you realize how many you could probably find right now? There's an example of a white guy having a similar situation. I think years or maybe recently before that, where he also suffocated, right? And the point is not to diminish any time it happens, but there's, when you have one case overblown like this, you need to ask why this one instead of that one or that one or that one or that one, when there's plenty of them and you can look them up for yourself. It's just, my point is that this is something that's being used to pull your attention away, in my opinion, from a lot of other things, as well as continue. Looks like somebody's saying that it is garbled and choppy and not getting a good feed here. Let's see. Give me a second and let me make sure. I wonder why. Not new. It seems that this is always happening with this channel. Let's take a peek. Someone's saying screen. Yeah, so there's clearly something happening here with the feed. So give me just one second. Let's see if we can't figure this out. Let's see. I think we're going to do this. Drop one of these, see if that helps. Interesting. See, what's strange to me is, well, people are saying we're good now, but I think I see the feed still kind of struggling. And it's strange because on my end, it looks completely strong, like outstandingly strong. So I always find that quite interesting. But let's continue nonetheless. Now, the point was, nonetheless, it not really important, nothing really interrupted, was that this trial is, in my opinion, completely meant to... Okay, oh, so some of the screen is up. I got it. So anyway, keep going. The point is that this is meant to distract you guys. And again, I want to be very clear. This is not to pretend like there's nothing important here or that this person wasn't hurt or that we shouldn't care about that. But there are so many far, far, far more important things happening right now that this is taking your attention away from. And then what I have up here was the only reason I even mentioned this today is after he was found guilty on all counts. So if you want to make this a left versus right thing, the left side seemingly won, I guess, whatever that means. Also note that Biden seemingly spoke up before the announcement while this was ongoing and said, here's what I want, because that's not jury meddling from a presidential level at all. But ultimately, if they're telling you LAPD declares tactical alert after the verdict, what does that mean? I thought we were worried about riots because people were going to riot because he should have been found guilty, in their opinion, and they weren't happy about that. So now are they arguing that what, that the conservatives are going to run through the streets and burn things down? Right? I find that hard to believe, not because conservatives aren't capable of that, but because that's not how this has been going. And I find it interesting that they're still acting like, don't worry, we're all going to, there's still chaos coming, there's riots coming. That's the plan. There is a wildly manufactured element to all of this, all of the internal domestic terrorism politics and everything they're trying to churn up right now between ourselves. So just keep that in mind as we go through everything today, that they don't want you looking at all of this other stuff. And that's why this has been the focal point of damn near every outlet that doesn't want you paying attention to what's going on. Oh, and by the way, it is 420 today. So just in case you still think that marijuana is somehow harmful to you, or that it's in all the horrible propaganda, even as we're in the midst of another massive psychological propaganda campaign, ask yourself, what else have they lied to us about? The entirety of cannabis or hemp or any of this stuff for that matter. But usually people who don't already agree with this will think I'm crazy for stating it without looking at the facts, sort of exactly like we're dealing with in COVID, because this is another propaganda campaign, just like we're dealing with today. But if you care to know the facts, please dive into this article, Top 10 Marijuana Myths That No One Should Believe. This is reposted in 2020, but this was originally posted, I think it was even before 2016, to be honest. But you can go through this and you'll find each one broken down with a excerpt of the most important part of the myth, each one. But you can click on the main link of each individual myth, and it will take you to an entire article I wrote about every single individual myth. And you will go through this, and it's extensive, and there's lots of information, and it's broken down by each myth, and you can read them all for yourself, all sourced and backed up by material you can read for yourself and, documentation. On that note, let's get into some interesting things about our government. This is an interesting point that I want to read to you from U.S. Strategic Command as of today or yesterday. Posture statement preview. The spectrum of conflict today is neither linear nor predictable. Well, yeah, that's because you guys are all over the world and in marching over people's rights and invading countries and destroying resources. But yeah, that's, it's not predictable like we want it to be. We must account for the possibility of conflict leading to conditions which could very rapidly drive an adversary to consider nuclear use as their least bad option. So this is them basically laying the groundwork for saying, oh, that guy over there, they have nuclear weapons and we don't like them, which means they're thinking about bombing us. So we have to bomb them first so we don't let them use them. This is another way of saying the Bethlehem Doctrine, preemptive self-defense. This is Israel coming to the United States in policy. It's the same thing, the Israeli government. This is ridiculous. The idea that we should pretend that they need to be focused on because they've got nuclear weapons just because you don't like them is crazy. This is ridiculous. This is going to be aimed at Iran. It's going to be aimed at people that they don't like, despite the fact that places like, between Pakistan and India and Israel themselves and all sorts of countries that they pretend not to look at are far, far more nuclear dangerous, dangerous in a nuclear way than pretty much everyone they keep pointing to. But also recognize the first point that I made. The only reason this is even the way it is because the U.S. government is literally everywhere in the world, everywhere. They are all over everyone's doorsteps that are not letting them in. They're all over every country. It's ridiculous. And then they act like they're there to protect freedom. Well, they're the ones undermining the stability of all of these places to gain what they want. If you don't understand this yet, you're still lost. This is a worldwide understanding outside of the two-party illusion in this country. And we need to realize what our government's actually accomplishing. That's why they're doing this, because they're ready to go at it once again. And on that note, just as Robert Inlakesh wrote today, the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan may just lead to privatized war. And the point is, we know that it already has. And that's what his point is in this article. As he writes, according to the Pentagon spokesperson, this past Friday, U.S. forces will likely increase in the coming weeks and months in order to facilitate a full withdrawal by the 9/11 deadline. So you hear that again? This is how absurd this is. I mentioned this during Obama. I mentioned this during Trump. I mentioned this now. When they pretend like they need to send in all these more troops to make sure they bring them out, It's ridiculous. Now, I'm not arguing that there's not some necessity for somebody to go in to make things happen, but to increase dramatically the presence, to pretend like that needs to be there to be able to pull the people out, it's not going to end up that way. Has it last time? Did it the time before? No, it ends up with more presence. Because guess what? Somebody shot something and now we have to stay. Good thing we had extra troops here. When did that last happen? In Syria. When Trump did the same thing, and guess what happened? We're still there with more people. That's exactly what I told you. When all the Trump supporters were screaming, see, we're getting out of Syria. It's never happening unless we make it. It's all narrative. It goes on to say, as part of Trump's withdrawal deal with the Taliban, a deal that Biden is bound to, Western forces were to leave by May 1st this year. If this does not happen, the Taliban vow that attacks will immediately begin on all remaining service members. And guess what? Biden's already committed to being there past May. So guess what? They're going to attack them. And then guess what? Biden's going to say, they attacked us. Now we have to stay. This is basic, guys. This is basic stuff. And this is, I mean, there's variations on how that could go. Robert, in fact, lays out a few of them down here at the bottom. But the reality is, this is going to be some variation of how it goes. And it'll be a justification. Look, I hope I'm wrong. I hope that we leave and actually let Afghanistan be its own country again. But as Samira Khan writes, quoting Senator Blinken, we will remain vigilant against any possibility that the threat of terrorism reemerges in Afghanistan, meaning they're not leaving. We will reorganize our counterterrorism capabilities to stay on top of that. As she says, please make a habit of reading Please make a habit of going straight to the source instead of relying on headlines. And she's going to NATO is the point. You know why? Because all the mainstream media lied to you. And all they told you was what Biden and their narrative wanted them to say. The reality is they're not leaving. And this is what I keep telling you, that the contractors are far, far more than the people they claim are U.S. troops. And that is that has been a systematic, strategic reorganization to get us to think we're leaving when in reality we're putting more people there than ever. Now, as it says, under the Trump administration, the number of contractors working in Afghanistan had risen by 65%. So, yeah, the official number did drop to 2,500, except that was only U.S. troops, and we didn't care that he increased the contractors by 65%. So he pulled some out and put in twice as much. This is the joke that this is how dumb they think we are. And a lot of people fall for it. And I don't think it's because they're dumb. I think it's because they choose to blindly trust one person or the other because they desperately want one of them to be a savior, because that's how we've been cultivated to see all of this. But 65%, according to the Defense Department report released this January, the total number of contractors in Afghanistan right now sits at roughly 18,000. 18,000, that's on top of the 2,500. This is crazy. And this is what only people in the independent media will talk about or hear. That's it. Because it'll be fake news if you hear it from someone. The last of T-Lab said that. Watch fake news on CNN. Who cares if he's citing NATO, or who cares if he's citing, I mean, any number of documents you can read from this article alone that tie back to the government. But it goes on to say Blackwater, Eric Prince discussed a new strategy for Afghanistan and making it a privatized war with Donald Trump. Which, by the way, I guess that's what happened. Isn't that funny how when we talked about that back in 20, or I forget what year that was, plenty of people said fake news. Here we are, 18,000 independent, mercenaries, 65% increase. After Eric Prince says, hey, Trump, how about this? How about you let us privatize the war for you? And everyone says different things, and it all continues forward. Because this is what they all are. The same agenda, the same narrative, with slight deviations leading to endless wars. For freedom, apparently, as they destroy everybody's resources and destroy people's lives and destroy everything they can to achieve what they want to. Just like it's happening in Yemen, like it's happening in Syria, like it's happening in Afghanistan, like it's happened in Iraq, like it's happening all over the place. Interesting. Let me know if the stream is doing okay in the chat. It still looks like it's a little low. Going into Ireland to start this off into COVID. This is an important discussion because this is something that's already been undermined in 1,000 different ways, from information coming from the US, from information coming from different places around the world. And yet we still act like it just didn't happen, because this is what happens when they claim to trust the science and trust the facts and then only listen to dogma and narrative. That's what's happening. Here is Ireland reporting fewer deaths in 2020, or rather Ireland statistics, than in 2019. Now, I just want to share the link where I first saw this from the person who shared it. Now, here's Global Research reposting the study itself. Now, it says the goal of this study is not to impress academics with complex statistics or seek favorable peer reviews, but to demonstrate to the ordinary decent citizen of Ireland in the simplest possible terms how the 2020 COVID-19 deaths claimed by NPHET every night on RTE1, and published on the data.gov IE website cannot possibly be true. The study will conclude that Ireland had the lowest death rate in 2020 since 2012. It's a big statement to make. I aggressively ask you all to go in, read the whole thing. It's very long. Read the information, look at the data, come to your own conclusions. Because you will find, as I did, that it's quite compelling. And he says, by now, the mismatch that I have outlined between this data, claimed COVID-19 deaths, and the official registered deaths up to June 2020, together with the RIP.ie cleaned deaths, death notices from then up to March 2021, can only bring you to the same conclusion that I have arrived at. That is, the data claimed COVID-19 deaths are deaths of older people and people with underlying conditions who died as per normal, but were fraudulently classified as COVID-19 by vested interests using PCR tests, which have found to produce a high percentage of false positive results. Furthermore, I conclude that the approximately 500 excess deaths in January to February 2021 must be related to the rollout of the vaccinations in those nursing homes during that period, and that the excessively high COVID-19 deaths claimed by NPHET, datagov.ie, in January, February 2021, are contrived for the sole purpose of allowing those deaths to be explained as COVID-19, as per the death records, rather than adverse reactions to the vaccines. So covering their butts. Now, this is Kieran Morrissey. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that if it's an Irish name. Is a U.S.-born engineer. Oh, excuse me, but then maybe not. Or maybe she's Irish, but born in the U.S., which is reason I know people in that. Anyway, is a U.S.-born engineer who has worked in healthcare for most of his career and has been educated and spent most of his life in Ireland. He is married with 4 adult children. So yeah, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that name, just by the way it looks. I apologize for that. But please take the time to understand this. The reason I'm not even going incredibly deep on this is because I find the one that we've already discussed, the one comparing all-cause mortality to specific age mortality and realizing that there is no overwhelming spike in regard to over 70, over 80, which makes no sense because that's the predominant location of the deaths. So how is it possible that there's not an increase? We've gone over all of this. Or the fact that the numbers in general saw a huge dump of like 260 deaths like the first day of 2021. Adding to 2020. And before that, it was basically the same. And that is crazy. And they act like, well, yeah, that's not what I've seen happen before. In any case, I recommend you take the time to understand this because it's an important discussion. Now, next on this is the idea of mainstream media and the fact that the entire two-party paradigm is completely misinformed. It reminds me of a quote from Mark Twain. You read the newspaper, or if you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you read the newspaper, you're misinformed, right? And this is a classic saying that kind of cuts to the quick of this, that at the end of the day, these groups are trying to mislead you, guys. That's what their job is. And that's what we need to recognize. I know it's hard for people that haven't woken up to this just yet, but you will find in this, even in this information, right now, I think there's a weird dynamic happening where a lot of these news outlets are really struggling because people see them. And so what they're trying to accomplish, in my opinion, is sort of right now, you know, doing the best they can within their broken paradigm. So they're admitting things lately. And maybe that's actually the plan, for all I know. Like I keep saying, I expected a slow roll down of this so they could get people back to being a little comfortable because they're going to roll it back in with the booster shots and whatever else, which is the plan, in my opinion. But reading into this, New York Times, bad news bias. This is before the two-party part. This is just simply pointing out that the mainstream media, not just two-party paradigm people in general, but the media themselves are wrong. And the New York Times is pointing this out, that they're wrong in basically intentionally erring, in my opinion, erring on the side of negative content. As it says, his name is Bruce Sacerdote, an economics professor at Dartmouth College, noticed something last year about the COVID-19 television coverage that he was watching on CNN and PBS. It almost always seemed negative. Now, right off the bat, I know there are people that are going to go, well, of course, because this is crazy and negative. And that's the point, because those people are wrong. And that's all coming out right now. Not that there's not some level of danger, but that this irrational, like worst thing in the history of whatever is not correct. That children are at risk and we're all going to die and most people are in the hospital. None of that's true. And even the mainstream is beginning to point this out. But it says it was almost always negative, regardless of what he was seeing in the data and hearing from scientists. Right. So the very outlets that are screaming about trusting the science and the facts are the very people ignoring them in interest of a good story. What do you know? And this is coming from the New York Times, guys, so some people's heads are probably spinning. When COVID cases were rising in the U.S., the news coverage emphasized the increase. When cases were falling, of course, the coverage instead focused on those places that were rising or mixed things together to make it look like something else was happening or fear-mongered about how people weren't doing what they were supposed to, and that would lead to more rises. It was constant fear-mongering, which is, by the way, for those of us that know, what they're paid for. That's their job. And when vaccine research began showing positive results, the coverage downplayed it, which I disagree with that, but I just want to read what they're arguing. The vaccine research began showing positive results, and I don't think in any way they downplayed this. I think that they were trying to play safety and ultimately were going, good, good. I mean, look, I'm just going to go ahead and say that that statement's categorically false, because what we saw was them saying, study says it's 90% effective, and or just, you know, whatever, that they said 90% effective. And no, that's Pfizer stating something without showing you anything. And they all reported it as, we're all going to live because 90%, right? So I actually take that. That's a completely wrong statement. But New York mainstream media, right? So there's always a level here. There's always an agenda. There's always an angle. But he was not sure whether his perception was correct. To check, he began working with two other researchers building a database of COVID coverage from every major network. CNN, Fox News, Politico, The New York Times, and hundreds of other sources in the U.S. and overseas. The researchers then analyzed it with a social science technique that classifies language as positive, neutral, and negative. Now, obviously, that in and of itself could be wildly incorrect. Like, there's always that caveat that they're modeling or they're, you know, study. This is just like Imperial College stuff or their polls, or God knows they can just lie about that stuff. But taking this at face value, because it's coming from The New York Times about the mainstream media, so we just understand that it's interesting to see this conflict. The results showed that the instinct that he had was right. It says the coverage by U.S. publications with a national audience has been much more negative than coverage by any other source that the researchers analyzed. Meaning so that shows you right there that they're intentionally leaning into the fear angle, which, by the way, remember, that's not even a secret, guys. That's not even close to a secret. They admitted this, and I've shown you at least four different documents that outline, predominantly, I think, from the UK, but I saw at least one from the US that clearly stated that basically we should scare them. These people need to be, I didn't include it today, but there was somebody comparing an old New York Times article that said that basically that we should make people scared of COVID. Like, that was their angle, because why? It made people want to get vaccinated. And remember, then it got to the point to where, well, it's not that bad, or it's not this, you know, there's things that we shouldn't be talking about, but we're going to hide the truth because vaccine hesitancy. Right. So this is an important point in all this. That they clearly, this is a large, large over undertaking. Read it again. The coverage by U.S. publications with a national audience has been much more negative than coverage by any other source. That contrast is very obvious, including scientific journals. Right? Trust the science, right? No, they read the scientific journals, or actually, I completely take that back. They're told what they're about, probably maybe read the first part of it, and then they lean into whatever angle they can make it scary. Instead of just going, here's the good news, we're not in danger. Major international publications and regional U.S. media, the most well-read U.S. media are outliers in terms of their negativity. Why? Because it got them ratings. About 87% of COVID coverage in national U.S. media last year was negative. The share was 51% in the international media. So look at the contrast. 53% in U.S. regional media and 64% in scientific journals. Notably, the coverage was negative in both U.S. media outlets with liberal audiences and those in conservative. So let's put aside this two-party illusion. They're scaring you with the mainstream media. Doesn't matter. In different ways, arguably. Right? The conservative media knows how to scare its audience the same way. They're scaring you into getting vaccinated. Because what's the common thread here? From Trump to Biden, get vaccinated. Shocker, right? If we're constantly telling a negative story, we're not giving our audience the most accurate portrayal of reality. Understand what that's saying. This is mainstream media pointing to what mainstream media did throughout this illusion. And they're saying, if we're constantly telling a negative story, because there's plenty of things that we're not, we are not giving our audience the most accurate portrayal of reality, which translates into we're lying. Maybe by omission, maybe by misrepresentation, but you're still lying. Now it says the researchers say they are not sure what explains their findings, which is so hilarious to me. But they do have a leading contender. The U.S. media is giving the audience what it wants. Or maybe it's because they know what sells. Like, it's so funny that we're not sure how to explain this contrast. I mean, this is the thing. This is where you know that these researchers are afraid to say what is obvious, because they know that'll make them out to be a fake news, anti-science conspiracy, whatever. So they show it to you. They know it'll catch some people and even the two-party illusion, but they go, well, we don't know exactly why they would lie to you about the negative. I mean, there's obviously something larger happening here. It says, we tend to equate impact with asking tough questions and exposing problems. Yeah, exactly the problem. They tend to think that just making shock value is news. Whereas, what's the other quote from Orwell? Right? Journalism is publishing things that people don't want seen. Anything else is simply public relations. That's what we're talking about here. These people are acting shocked, and all you're doing is reporting what is comfortable, what is going to get you a pat on the head. You're leaning into the narrative. That's not journalism. You're just repeating things. But this is what they want you to think it is today. Now, keeping this in mind, that even the New York Times is telling you that the media has been lying to you for fear because it sells. That's the breakdown. Oh, and here's the study itself. So I'll include this for you to read so you can actually understand how they came to that conclusion, which is actually pretty interesting. But bringing this into the next part, Democrats push Twitter, Facebook to remove vaccine disinformation dozen. Now, it's not just disinformation. These are Democratic politicians and Democrat individuals that are screaming about removing specifically 12 people that they claim are the disinformation dozen. It's pretty ridiculous, if you ask me. But we're talking about Democratic senators, Amy Klobuchar, you know, a lot of them asking, like basically demanding that Facebook and Twitter remove these people because they're claiming what they say is spreading the majority of anti-vaccine content. Now you realize that this is how dumb this is, because somebody like RFK Jr. is outspoken about how he's not anti-vax. Whatever that stupid phrase means. He is concerned about the intention behind the production of these current ones, as well as some other vaccines. But he's adamant, whether you disagree with him or not. In fact, even people in that community tend to be suspicious about him in some extreme parts of it, because they think, well, he's not completely saying vaccines are all bad. Well, that's because there's some nuance here, guys. Now, I'm wildly suspicious about any vaccine at this point, because I don't trust the people behind any of this. I've seen what they've been doing. I've seen how they've lied. I've seen how they swapped things out and experimented on people. I don't trust this. I don't trust the intention or the people behind it. If what we know about vaccine technology is correct, that's a big if. I don't know, because they were still getting it from the same people, but taking it for face value. If what we know about that's correct, well, I would argue that that could be useful if done with the right intentions by the right people. I'm not a scientist, though. For all I know, that's all incorrect information. The point is that someone like RFK Jr. is the furthest thing from anti-vax. He's concerned about very obvious things that bad people are doing, whether about vaccines or anything else. But they want to remove him because he's telling the truth. Now it says, for too long, social media platforms have failed to adequately protect Americans by not taking sufficient action to prevent the spread of vaccine disinformation. How exactly is that protecting Americans? How is spreading information putting anybody at risk? You see, people who have already decided that words are violence will go, well, of course, because they're telling people not to get vaccinated. They're not going to get it. And then they're all going to die. That's ridiculous, by the way. Wild jump of conclusions there, which, of course, has become normal in these circles because they don't trust facts or science, but they scream facts and science. That's crazy. He is spreading information. Now, you know what? He could be wrong. Is that not allowed anymore? The mainstream media is wrong all the time. But you see, the point is he's not, in my opinion. He's spreading factual information and spreading scientific data, just like the scientific study about masks that the Twitter keeps censoring from Stanford from January 2021 that clearly finds that masks are very dangerous and they don't work the way they say they do. That's from Stanford, January 2021. Now, I think I even had this up, to be honest, but I'll just have this up just since I mentioned it. I think I've included it in the mask list on my show or on my links on my website. But this is, as I keep showing people, from Stanford University, January 2021, and you can see very clearly. Well, I mean, I'll hold off on this just to the end. But the point is, guys, that this is very obvious. And they're censoring it. How does that make sense? That is the science. Now, this also speaks to the ignorance of even saying, quote, trust the science. Because you can have scientific studies that come to different conclusions. Uh-oh, what do you do then? Do you trust them both? It's just as dumb as back when they said, trust women. It's the same ploy. They want you to trust what they tell you is the science, as I've been saying from the beginning. As we continue to distribute and administer vaccines across the country, your platforms must step up. Oh, you mean like they outline in Event 201 and the ones before it? Yeah. Against people that are spreading content that can harm the health of Americans. How can that content harm anybody? People can come to read content, even fake stuff, and then make decisions based on what they want to decide. That's nothing to do with the content, whether or not the content led to that decision. That is a free human being making a choice. And if people are too, whatever you want to call it, to not take the time to do their own research, that doesn't matter whether the media is lying to them or whether some guy on the internet's lying to them. They're going to be just as susceptible to fake stuff. And you know where most of it comes from? The mainstream media and people like this. Even if they don't even know that. But taking this on face value, the fact that they're just screaming, oh, well, first I want to show you who they are. This is crazy to me. The disinformation doesn't are responsible. And how do you even measure that? They say responsible for up to 65% of anti-vaccine content. That is the dumbest thing ever. How do you even measure something like that? But of course, most of these people are people who have been spreading some very, very solid information. Solid. Backed up by science. Now, look, there's plenty of people on this list that I think have spread things that maybe I argue, most of them probably not intentionally, that I would argue were maybe a little bit off the rail, but doesn't mean they don't have the right to do that. I support every single person on this list, regardless of whether I think sometimes they're incorrect. But look, bottom line, I'm not going to go through what I think about each of them, but I think all of these people are people that you should take the time to listen to because they're giving you information that you're not getting anywhere else. And then you should take the time to research it so you know you understand it for yourself. But they're talking about Dr. Mercola, RFK Jr., Ty and Charlene Bollinger, which, you know, the vaccine, I'm blanking on the, somebody in the chat dropped that name for me. I'm forgetting the name of their group. The vaccine, they did a vaccine thing, and then they're doing something. They did a cancer one as well. I apologize for forgetting that. I thought it was outstanding. Sherry Tenpenny, outstanding. I mean, I don't need to go through all of them. I've had interviews with Richard, with Dr. Buttar. I've had interviews with Aaron Elizabeth. There's a lot of good people on that list, and it's just crazy that they're trying to say that, one, that they're responsible for 65% of anti-vaccine content, despite just spreading scientific data that you can research for yourself, but the fact that they're literally arguing that all of those people should be completely deplatformed. This is what we have members of Congress openly advocating for all 12 people to be completely deplatformed. But we're all about freedom and free speech, right? Bill Maher slams liberals as they're calling for these people to be deleted based on information that they think they understand for, guess what? Pushing COVID panic porn, which again, it's, you know, it's fear porn. I don't know where panic porn came from. Praises Florida Governor DeSantis for protecting his elderly population better than Governor Cuomo, and says he doesn't want politics mixed with his medical decisions as cases soar in 21 states. God, this is so silly that what does that mean? Cases soar? I mean, there's no context, first of all, because you understand that these are PCR test based reportings, and they're already telling you, they're already talking about rolling this back because of false positives. Which, by the way, I had up, and I know it's there somewhere. I don't want to jump around. There it is. We just talked about this. Rapid COVID testing in England may be scaled back over false positives. I have the image right here. Leaked emails seen by The Guardian show that senior officials are now considering scaling back the widespread testing of people without symptoms due to a growing number of false positives, right? So here they are screaming about how we have to do this. And these are the very things that are giving people the false positives and the false impression that that they're talking about isn't true. You see how crazy this is? And it comes back around to where we're currently at a point where they're now screaming that people need to be deleted based on things that the other parts of the mainstream media are saying they don't understand because they're more concerned about they're overly hyping the danger. I just find that to be incredible. Bill Maher's calling them out. And here's the actual point. This is the article, COVID's partisan errors. Here's the main graph before I even read it. What are the chances somebody with COVID must be hospitalized? This is where Bill Maher took his point from. Now, that goes down the different choices, and it shows you the correct one. 1 to 5%. That's it, by the way. 1 to 5% being hospitalized. That's not deaths. That's just being hospitalized. I wonder why we're jamming ventilators down people's throats, which seems to be leading to more. But anyway, the point is that Democrats, 41% of them believed, or let me even put it more than you could say, that over 70% believed that it was between 20 to 50%. That's the vast majority are wildly incorrect about that. Republicans, 50%. So 20% more in regard to Democrats. That's just between those bottom two rungs, by the way. But nonetheless, Republicans, half of them, are completely incorrect about how dangerous this actually is. Independents, just the same. Now, understand, when they say independents, they're not talking about people like us. They're talking about people who partake in the two-party illusion, but just register as independents. It's all the same nonsense. This is an illusion, all of this. It's all the same thing. And the fact that everyone that's lost in that illusion all has the same wildly overblown misrepresentation of how dangerous this is, how does that not show us everything? The media is lying to everybody, and they're all completely overwhelmed by fear based on misinformation. Exactly what the New York Times just said, the bias of negative misinformation, and you got people that are now screaming to remove people based on that overblown misrepresentation of that danger. Isn't this incredible? And it's all happening in real time. As even Bill Maher pointed out and say they're wrong. I find this to be staggering. But this has been the same point of it's been consistent across this whole illusion that they continue to ignore how when information comes out that dispels their entire standing point. As it says, to many liberals, COVID has become another example of the modern Republican Party's hostility to facts and evidence. And that charge certainly has some truth to it, yet the particular story with COVID is also more complicated. I'm reading directly from New York Times, because conservatives aren't the only ones misinterpreting scientific evidence in systematic ways. Right, because they're all just reading scientific data and coming to different conclusions, right? God, I mean, see, this is how New York Times plays their own game in this. No, they're not. That's crazy. These are all people that are blindly watching mainstream media, which, by the way, is what you reported over here in a different article. That's kind of funny, right? But here they are making it out to be that they're just simply misunderstanding the evidence they're reading. I believe that. It's crazy. It bothers me that they say things like that, but that's not the important point. It says Americans on the left half of the political system spectrum are doing it too. That's a central finding from a survey of 35,000 Americans by Gallup and Franklin Templeton, which, by the way, is wrong all the time. So just factor that in when you ever hear polls or any of these things. But again, coming from within the narrative and coming from mainstream, this is interesting. I find that both liberals and conservatives suffer from misconceptions about the pandemic in opposite directions. Republicans consistently underestimate the risks while Democrats consistently overestimate them. Okay. That doesn't seem to make sense to me, seeing as how both of them are wildly overestimating the risk. Isn't that funny? So they want you to kind of just take this at face value without really thinking about it, and then just kind of shoehorning this into the two-party system and being like, well, yeah, that makes sense because we know Republicans don't like facts. Oh, and Democrats are overwhelmed. I mean, it's like just grab the low-hanging fruit and call them both what we, you know, like this is just bad stuff. Like, this is lazy. The graph is right in front of you. They're all okay. Look, just because 26% of them just got it right, it still shows you that the vast majority got it wrong and way over 50% and up scenario, right? Even independent, same thing. So it's very telling to me, but this is how they try to frame it. But it says, and then they also point out here, asymptomatic spread is a major source of transmission, and COVID has killed about 15 times more Americans than either the flu or vehicle crashes due to a typical year, except that's completely untrue. But we'll just go ahead and take a quick look at where they're taking that asymptomatic information from. Let's see. Oh, their own article. Interesting. Even asymptomatic people carry the coronavirus in high amounts. Researchers in South Korea found that roughly 30% of those infected never develop symptoms, yet probably spread the virus. Oh, wow. That's some sound research, New York Times. Thank you for that. Probably. Well, man, then write an entire article about how we 100% are seeing asymptomatic spread based on that probably spread from one research study from South Korea that entailed 193 people. It's fantastic work. Great journalism. The South Korean team analyzed samples from between March 6th and March 26th from 193 symptomatic and 110 asymptomatic people isolated at a community treatment center in that location. Now, ask yourself how they somehow knew that those were asymptomatic people before they brought them into the test. Of the initial asymptomatic patients, 89, roughly 30% of the total, appeared healthy throughout, while 21 developed symptoms. So they already knew they were asymptomatic before they started a test to define whether they were asymptomatic and could carry the virus. You see, this is based on a PCR test that says, oh, well, they don't have symptoms and they're positive on a PCR test. So that means they do have it and they're asymptomatic. So let's take those people and test whether they ever end up having high amounts. You see that false premise that you're assuming they have it to begin with. Shocking, right? Shocking that they would do something like that. But it goes on to say the real strength of the study is that they have a very large number of patients. Okay, 193. It's almost like we've never seen one that's more than that. You mean like one with 10 million people? Yeah, you know, we'll get to that one next. The study's estimate that 30% of infected people never develop symptoms is in line with finding from other studies. In a television interview with Dr. Fauci, he tendered 40% as the figure, of course, because Fauci's always overblowing this and completely getting it wrong, usually, and saying that you're all going to die and 40% are asymptomatic, and there's no evidence for that whatsoever. Quote, the good news about COVID is that about 40% of the population have no symptoms when they get infected. And then we're supposed to just forget that Dr. Fauci said himself that that respiratory viruses are not spread by asymptomatic people, but you know, who cares about what he said before all this started? Because the world only started once COVID-19 began. But recognize that that's what they're trying to push. That this is the only, just because of this small study of 193 people that they're acting like is a huge study that says probably spreads the virus. Wow, that's sound. But here is the British Medical Journal, you know, the science that we're supposed to trust. Asymptomatic cases may not be infectious. Mass screening program of more than 10 million people has identified 300 asymptomatic cases of COVID-19. But guess what? None of which were infectious. So basically, yes, you could argue there are 300 asymptomatic cases out of 10 million, but none of them were even infectious, so there's no asymptomatic spread. So that means zero prevalence of asymptomatic spread in this 10 million person study. It says the asymptomatic positive rate was lowest among people under 17 years old. So that you also recognize what that says. That the group they're trying to use the asymptomatic argument the most for, children, are at the lowest risk of even having a positive asymptomatic rate, let alone being infectious, which, by the way, none of them were. So children not only have the lowest rate for even having a positive asymptomatic rate, but it's not infectious anyway, but asymptomatic spread doesn't even exist on top of that in the larger scheme. And they're trying to argue that, selling everything to us based on fear that somebody who don't look sick may actually still be sick. So test everyone, everyone's sick, lock down everyone. Guys, that's the premise for the entire illusion. The highest is those over 60. Shocker. We see that. The reality of people just getting sick and dying over 60, it's all over 60, over 70, over 80, all of it. I was just watching something, I think, from the UK where they said the average death was 82 and the average death from COVID is 82. And the average death overall before COVID was 81. This is exactly like we're seeing here, exactly like the Swiss policy research pointed out, that it is basically exactly in line with normal mortality, which means there is risk, of course, but no more than normally stepping out your front door. But they'll never tell you that. So here is New York Times arguing based on their article about a study from South Korea and acting like that's the science. Did they mention the British Medical Journal, which is the largest one that's been done? Of course not, because that would undermine their point. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story, New York Times. A major source of transmission. It's killed about 15 times more Americans, according to people that are being claimed deaths from COVID, even though they died with it, not from it. People that get tested PCR tests and get a car accident. All of these are happening and they're admitting to them for your safety, of course. But then using that bloated number to act like you're all in danger and taking away your rights. Makes me sick. But the real point not to forget is that everyone inside the two-party paradigm is completely overblowing the danger with this. Why? Because the media is telling them that. Because those are the people in the two-party paradigm listen to one side or the other of the fake news media. And the media has a bad news bias. It's quite clear, isn't it? And that, don't forget, they're going to try to censor and probably succeed all of these people based on their fear of something that the media now is telling you is not even as dangerous as they think it is. How is this even possible? How can we be so clearly seeing this and yet it's going to happen anyway? Because we, as the populace of this country, have not collectively realized that we all see this. They continue to pretend that we are the minority. And so we stay afraid to speak up. So they continue to do the things they do based on the idea that we don't have enough people to stop them, even though we do. If we all stood up and put our foot down, this wouldn't continue. Period. Now, in some vaccine discussion, which is equally disconcerting, I want to start off with an interesting article here that is... Somebody shared this with me and said, doesn't this seem inconsistent? I said, I almost couldn't believe this. Diabetics urged to get COVID vaccine following blood clot death. Okay. So even the title, you're going, okay, so we know that blood clots should kill people from this vaccine, but we're urging people to get it? Well, that's happening across the board. The benefits outweigh the risk and everybody keep using it. Of course. Which is ridiculous. But here it gets even worse. Diabetics are being encouraged to continue coming forward for the coronavirus vaccine following the news that a 48-year-old woman died after developing a very rare blood clot condition, likely linked to her recent AstraZeneca shot. I love the life. They're going to pretend like they're going to call it a possible link forever. It's been proven, guys. It's been proven in Norway. They suspended vaccines. I think I might even jump in the gun a bit, but I believe Denmark has completely suspended this. Or Norway, Denmark's the one I already reported. And so people are 100% proving this, and they still go, well, the rare thing that we don't know for sure. But then diabetics go get it anyway. Why? Well, it says people with type 1 and type 2 diabetes are at increased risk of some types of blood clots. Huh? Okay, so they're at risk of blood clots already, and you want them to take a vaccine that increases their risk of blood clots. Okay. I'm not following, but let's see what they have to say. But experts said there is no evidence to suggest that they run a greater risk of developing the rare condition believed to be caused by the AstraZeneca vaccine, known as thrombosis with thrombocytopenia syndrome. Okay. Why do the experts think that? So understand that this applies to anyone, it would seem. The risk of the blood clot from this is not predominantly, as far as I can tell, especially looking at the actual full picture on layers and not just the ones they point to, seemingly happens across the board. Like you might find a little high, you know, grouping in one age group category, but it seems like it's pretty much across the board. So why is it suddenly that there's no evidence to suggest that specifically diabetics aren't at higher risk? This continues to seem more like a eugenics campaign to seek out and find all the people with dementia and learning disabilities and, you know, people in the UK with, what was it? I think it was just learning disabilities, that they're putting people on do not resuscitate orders for having mental handicaps. How does that in any way connect to COVID-19? We saw the people in that nursing home that were forced vaccinated that we showed you the video of. And of course, none of the mainstream media talked about. 8 people died after that. And it was because every one of the 30 people they forced vaccinated had dementia. There's plenty more people in that nursing home. Why do they force vaccinate only the ones with dementia? Why are right now they saying, well, yeah, you have a higher risk of this and you already had that risk, but we don't think it works on diabetics for some weird reason. So all of you rush in and get it. That's very alarming to me. Central Coast woman Janine Norris, who had several chronic diseases, died last week at John Hunter Hospital after she developed blood clots in the arteries and veins and had a low platelet count. Well, that sounds familiar, right? But we don't know for sure. The Therapeutic Goods Administration's Vaccine Safety Investigation Group concluded on Friday that her death was likely linked to the jab. What a conclusion that is. So we don't know. That's not a conclusion. That means they know it was the jab, the shot, the injection, and they just don't say that. But it remains under investigation because of the unusual clinical profile. No, that means politics are happening, and you don't want to say it until you can say it quietly where no one's paying attention. It says there have been 2 previously confirmed. Do you love that? So we're up here going, we don't know for sure, and it linked, and we don't know, impossible. oh, by the way, there's been two confirmed Australian cases of exactly this caused by the vaccines. But they make sure to tell you, but fewer than 5 million recipients of the vaccine. Like, it's just crazy. This is still being used. We're pausing the J&J vaccine, but we're allowing this to keep being used. This is a ploy. Adults of any age with diabetes are now eligible to receive this vaccine as part of phase 1B of the national coronavirus vaccine rollout, along with other people who have a number of other health conditions, right? Quickly, quickly, everyone who's sick, rush in here and get this thing. What? Why would people with health conditions, I mean, the argument is that they're saying because they're more at risk from COVID-19, but that seems to be the exact marker that's causing more risk from the vaccine. But we can't talk about that, so they won't admit it even to themselves. But it's continuing. 33-year-old woman hospitalized for mysterious paralysis 12 hours after the vaccine. Do you realize how insulting this is that this has continued? Like, I think they expected this to sort of drop off. Mysterious. I mean, the way that they're reporting this in the mainstream media is insulting to our intelligence. At this point, there needs to be a clear possibility where we go, okay, another one, another possible link to this possible vaccine problem. Nope, that would be honest reporting. It says the healthy 33-year-old woman in Bethel Park, Pennsylvania, who asked to remain anonymous, experienced paralysis 12 hours after getting her first dose of Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. And you know why she has to be anonymous? Because she knows that despite her having the experience herself, that people would call her anti-vax simply for telling people what happened. Think how crazy that is. The Pennsylvania woman said she initially felt fine after being vaccinated, but woke up in the middle of the night with no feeling in her arms or legs. It was the scariest thing in the world to go to sleep comfortably, completely fine, to wake up at 1:30 in the morning and not be able to move at all. I'm literally counting on my daughter to hand me my phone to call to get help. God, it's crazy. She regained feeling in her strength in her arms, but she had no function from her lower chest down besides very slight movement in the toes. Few toes. The woman's family confirmed to Channel 11 that her cause was reported to Pfizer. Case, excuse me. Which, of course, they then go, we don't know for sure, and it's probably not, because a lot of people have weird, mysterious arm things happen in the general population from time to time, and so it's probably not the vaccine, and we won't look any further. Pfizer taking report very seriously, of course, but downplays connection between vaccine injuries in general, as always. And just an update, as of April 15th, a 43-year-old Mississippi man suffered a stroke and subsequent paralysis hours after the vaccine. He's unable to walk and talk. The defender reported on September 25th, this is actually the backup one. The 15th is a new one. I haven't reported that, but I wanted to show you. Oh, you know what? I thought they had that breakdown. That's on the article they do every week, which, by the way, I recommend you check out the Defender, one of the groups they're trying to censor right now, because they have a weekly breakdown of the Bayer's information. God forbid we should have that information, right? Going forward, as Grace points out, the more I keep reading, the worse it gets. And anyone who actually cares to research this stuff will also come to the same conclusion. When you actually look into it and actually do your due diligence, just like New York Times and Forbes tell you not to do because it makes you a conspiracy theorist, that critical thinking is wrong in COVID-19 clown world, because you'll find things they don't want you to see. Check this out. And this is on what to expect. Blue tinted breast milk, anyone? My breast milk has a tinted blue color. The only thing different is that I got my first COVID vaccine 2 weeks ago. That could or could not be why. Anyone get the vaccine and milk turn blue, or didn't get the vaccine and have blue tinted milk sometimes? Gosh, it's crazy. Mine tinted green 2 to 3 days after my vaccine for about 3 total. You see this, guys? As Grace points out, breastfeeding mothers reported a sudden drop in milk supply after receiving the vax. I've never posted before, but I'm at a loss. Ello was the child was born on December 14th, and I've had an abundant supply since the day one. He is EBF, I'm not sure what that means, and has only had maybe 4 bottles since he was born. I have always had full breasts and could easily pump 3 to 4 ounces if needed. Fast forward to this past weekend, I received my second COVID vaccine on Friday evening. I fed the child on this regular schedule that night and all Saturday except for one feeding. He was with my parents while I slept off the awful side effects. Yeah, you know, that happened to everybody. He also fed normally all day Sunday, which, by the way, scares the hell out of me about what's being transferred in that breast milk. On Sunday night, I noticed he had nursed for quite a while and still hadn't felt a letdown. By the way, didn't they tell women who are breastfeeding not to get this vaccine? But I guess they just don't care and let them do it anyway, right? My breasts were so extremely soft, which is odd for me. I decided to hook up the pump and barely got a few drops from each breast. It's now Tuesday and it's still the same. Extremely soft breast, minimal pump output, and we can't even see it cuts off right there. But the point is, guys, we know there's a connection here because they've talked about this. Recognize the weird discussion of reproductivity or the idea that, you know, I find it very weird. And this is, I'm not saying I can, this is just a thought that comes to my mind. I find it very weird that Bill Gates, of all people, is involved with making fake breast milk. And then there was this huge push about trying to claim that that was healthier for children than real breast milk. And even in India tried to force them to make them use this fake breast milk. Or actually, no, excuse me. In the India discussion was trying to get them to use formula. A company that wanted to do that. But this fake breast milk discussion is very real. So isn't that interesting to you that suddenly this vaccine is causing her not to produce breast milk? Just a thought. In any case, we can see clearly these very weird things that are happening because of this all over the place that the media just continues to ignore. Oh, and I wanted to point out that somebody shared with me that they're apparently using the child alert system and warning system for, you know, hey, come get your vaccine. Remember when they freaked out that Donald Trump was going to use that system for his own personal way, and now they're using it for things it shouldn't be used for because vaccines are their big agenda, even though Trump is, that's his agenda too. I just find that to be quite interesting. Now, you know what? Maybe that's what it's been used for before. I haven't seen that. I find it pretty alarming to see how clearly this is, the vaccine is at all costs for these people. And as Whitney points out from Stat News, they share their tweet that says, opinion, even with nearly 25% of the U.S. population fully vaccinated, nearly, by the way, not even a third of the population has come close to having both these shots. And this is when people are already turning it down, which shows you the majority peeking out, guys. That's your 75% of people that are scared of this or know they're being lied to, or at the very least are starting to hear things they don't like. That is what I'm always talking about. But it says people like me who got COVID-19, even after being vaccinated, are proof that now is not the time to let our guards down. But as Whitney says, by the time it's okay to let our guards down, 3 months will have passed since the vaccine rollout began, and then it will be time for the variant booster, with warnings that we can't go back to normal until everyone gets the booster and so on, since it's been an annual affair now. And they're not even hiding this, guys. We're not even hiding this. Or they're not even hiding this. They're telling you. The CEO of Pfizer just said a booster will be needed within 6 to 12 months. So recognize the game. It's going to keep going. And despite risks continuing to pop up, but the benefits outweigh the risks. Well, how do we know if we don't know what the risks are? Here's a New York Post article. Herpes infection possibly linked to COVID-19 vaccine. Well, great. I'm sure glad we're testing that shot on young babies. Right on. And pregnant women? Cool. Let's make sure they get all kinds of weird things. I mean, this is, to be clear, this is a study that's linked it. Could it be wrong? Of course they could. Right? Exactly what the mainstream media will never say about things they want you to think. The fact is, they can always be wrong. They could always be misled or lying. Certainly possible. But here's what it says. Herpes infections may be a side effect, right? No, they may be an effect. These vaccines may give you herpes, right? Not a side effect. It's not just a side effect because they don't like what's happening. But yeah, these herpes infections may be an effect of the COVID-19 vaccine, experts have revealed. Scientists in Israel identified, again, you know, the world's lab, according to Pfizer. So it's not a surprise that that's where we're seeing all these things because they're being tested on more than anybody. Identified 6 cases in the new study of patients developing a skin rash known as herpes zoster or shingles after receiving the Pfizer vaccine, according to a study. Remember, Pfizer being the one that is easily the most criminal, a habitual offender, according to, I forget actually which one that was. We see which the outlet was. Oh, it's just health policy. But again, it's posted on the U.S. National Library of Medicine, National Institute of Health. And since I brought it up, the point is they're saying Pfizer has been a habitual offender, persistently engaging in illegal and corrupt marketing practices, bribing physicians, suppressing adverse trial results. Right. Like things like this, like finding that there's thrombocytopenia and hiding it from everybody because that hurts your bottom line. Well, guess what? They're habitual offenders in exactly that field. Isn't that funny? But who cares about that? Because that's actual real information. And from scientific information, trust the science, right? But it says, herpes zoster starts off as a small, itchy skin rash, but if left untreated, it could cause nerve damage and pain, according to the Jerusalem Post. Researchers from Tel Aviv found these with those with autoimmune inflammatory rheumatic diseases had a higher risk of developing the herpes infection. Shocker. People with autoimmune diseases are at higher risk. Where have we heard that before? You mean from like everybody raising the alarm about all sorts of these things? People like, who was the specifically we just mentioned talking about autoimmune diseases? In any case, I know that that James Lyons Weiler has pointed this out. They have been sounding the alarm about stuff like this from the beginning. And it, specifically people who are immunocompromised, who have autoimmune diseases. I mean, this is what Dr. What's his name? I'm blanking on his name right now. I'll just play the beginning of it so you remember who I'm talking about.
I heard earlier that there's no real concern about aluminum because it's such a small amount, and so it really shouldn't matter. But the kind of aluminum that we put into vaccines is a different kind of aluminum that we see environmentally. This is called a nanoparticle, and nanoparticles bind really tightly to the bacteria antigens, the virus antigens, the food protein antigens, and any other contaminants that are in the vaccines that we may not know about. And we know that the biochemical properties of nanoparticles is that they are capable of entering the brain. And so we have not evaluated the safety of the aluminum nanoparticle and its injection and where it goes when it gets into the body and whether it gets into the brain. Do vaccine ingredients belong in the brain? No. Do they get into the brain? No one has ever studied it. But animal studies using the same chemicals that are in vaccines that we give to children directly demonstrate that the vaccine ingredients do enter the brain. We are ignoring this information. There are scientists in Europe who've actually done studies on the aluminum nanoparticle and have shown that it can persist in the brain for years and decades. And so what we're seeing is a large outbreak of neurodevelopmental disabilities in adults, including Alzheimer's. And one of the main factors that they're finding in the brains of people with Alzheimer's is the aluminum nanoparticle that's directly related to the vaccines that we're giving. So we have never studied whether the aluminum that we're giving in vaccines gets into the brain, and we've never measured whether it stays in the brain and what it does if it does stay in the brain. But we do know that vaccines are supposed to cause inflammation in the body. But we have more than half of our children with chronic inflamed conditions. And we've never allowed ourselves to ask the question, if the vaccines cause inflammation acutely, do they continue to create inflammation chronically? We have 1 in 5 with neurodevelopmental disabilities, 1 in 10 with ADD and ADHD, 1 in 35 with autism, 1 in 11 with asthma, and 1 in 20 under the age of 5 with seizures.
So I didn't actually plan to play that whole thing, but I wanted to see his name, and it showed way at the end, so I finished. I had to let it play out. Oh, it looks like somebody shared it in the chat. Thank you for that, KB. So his name is Pavlovsky, something. I'm probably mispronouncing it. But in any case, there's a lot of people. There's another part to that as well where he gets into more of that, but there's a lot of people who have told us about this, that there's a risk here long before COVID-19. And now even before this, where it began, people like Lyons have told us, James Lyons Weiler, that there's a risk here. And yet they continue to give it to them. In fact, tell them that they're the people that have it first. Again, which makes me feel eugenics. But it says, out of 291 patients, 6 people or 1.2% experienced the infection. Do you realize that's a lot? Like 1.2%. Like if 1.2% were dying from COVID-19, that would be that would be the largest pandemic. That would actually be a big deal. But when it's 1.2% in this regard, they'll downplay it. Well, that's not that much. Right? What's 1.2% of the population? It's a lot of people, right? We're talking about hundreds of thousands of people that could potentially have herpes because of this vaccine. And we're going, nah, you know, that's downplayed. Not a big deal. The 6 patients all have mild cases of autoimmune inflammatory rheumatic diseases and were young. It says 5 of them developed herpes zoster after the first dose and the 6 got after the second. But it's still unclear whether the vaccine caused the cases of herpes zoster. It continually irritated how that is the exact thing said ever. They're saying that right now about AstraZeneca and J&J. These things have been confirmed. They will always say this. We cannot say the vaccine is the cause at this point. We can say it might be a trigger at some patients. Ah, now you see. Okay, so now they're willing to play this equivocate, this you know, semantics game. Well, okay, well, it triggered it in them, but it wasn't the cause. Okay, I love how you can make that distinction here, but you refuse to do it anywhere else. Right, such as the fact that the COVID-19 scenario, well, maybe you know, that ultimately triggered something, but not the cause. Right, they're playing with this in that regard. Or about cannabis, right, where we're constantly talking about this, maybe with schizophrenia. I read that article I showed you in the beginning of the show today. It's ridiculous to argue cannabis causes schizophrenia, because if you talk to anybody who really understands that, they'll tell you that's absurd, because this is not something that you just get. It is something that you trigger, something that's dormant in your body that you can then, and you can have, they tell you, you can have a violent car crash and all of a sudden it'll trigger it in your body. The point is that cannabis could be a factor that could lead to that triggering, but it is not causing this stuff. And that's a fact. So in this case, I find it funny that they're willing to try to make that quit that difference when they refuse to do that anywhere else that suits their narrative. But the point is, this is happening because of the vaccine, and they won't want you to know that. Fuhrer said further research is necessary, and one implication could be that patients with autoimmune inflammatory rheumatic diseases be encouraged to get vaccinated against herpes zoster before COVID-19. So instead of saying, don't take this thing that's hurting you, they say, go, here's another vaccine that'll stop that one thing that shouldn't be happening, and then take this vaccine. And then for the next weird thing that shouldn't be happening, we'll have you take another vaccine. Does this sound familiar? It sounds like the pharmaceutical industry. It's the same thing. Instead of realizing there's a problem, they just patch it up with another drug that causes another problem. This is classic big pharma. Quote, but guess best part, we should not scare people, they say. Because guess what? The overall message is to get vaccinated. So herpes is being caused possibly, but we're still telling you to get vaccinated. That is because they're so afraid of being labeled as anything even remotely anti-vax that they'll tell you, despite finding dangerous things, that you should still get vaccinated though. Because COVID-19 is so dangerous, it's even if you get herpes, it's still worth it. No, it's not. No, it's not. And the data on the CDC website makes that very clear. But they'll still lie to you because they're all part of the same agenda, whether it's left or right, guys. But sure, thrombocytopenia, stroke, heart attack, anaphylactic shock, whatever else that haven't been explained, and then herpes, you know, but no big deal, though. The risks are lower than the very small benefit. I mean, what is it? The benefits outweigh the risk, they keep saying, right? So the risks of this are astronomically higher than what we're talking about in regard to COVID-19. That's the truth. And the data is there for you to see, especially if you're under 60 and don't have any comorbidities and are reasonably healthy. That's a joke to pretend like that's why I keep telling you most people are at more risk from adverse events than they are from COVID-19. And that's using the data from the CDC website. But this is why they continue to censor me. That's an important one for you guys to save right there. I have it pulled up all the time because it's just there's plenty more to get into. But this is an interesting one, and this is in regard to that article, which for some reason Twitter or Breaking 911 deleted, or maybe Twitter deleted it. I don't know. Why anyone would come within 100 yards of this experimental injection if the side effects, in quotes, like this, like herpes, are still coming out, right? Why would you get near this every day we're hearing about some new possible side effect? How can the benefits outweigh the risks if we clearly do not know the risks? I mean, it's a sign of how lost we are that I even have to say that out loud. But who cares? Because guess what? Young, healthy adults will be deliberately reinfected with COVID-19 to boost vaccine development. Right, because we're not being experimented on at all, guys. Right? It's the most dangerous thing in the century. And we have to wear masks and stay inside. Nobody can go near anybody because it's so dangerous. But yeah, come on in. We'll infect you with it because we're testing. Right? Because that totally makes sense. See, it's either what they're telling us it is that justifies these horrendous actions that are destroying everyone's lives, or it's really not that dangerous and you're willing to infect people with it to make sure, because they're healthy and young. So they're really not at risk. That's the point. So if we're young and healthy and we're really not at risk you're willing to infect yourself for the future of the tests, why are we all still being forced to wear masks and social distance and lockdown? Because it's a big illusion. Human challenge trial. This is human experimentation in real time. Healthy young volunteers who have previously had COVID-19, or by the way, so they were told, will be deliberately exposed to coronavirus for a... Anyone else find it telling that now suddenly are all sort of shifting back into just generally saying coronavirus? Isn't that interesting? I don't know why. I mean, maybe it's because they want to conflate the whole picture because they're losing control of the narrative. I don't know. But it says they will be deliberately exposed to COVID-19 for a second time, so they're told. Because remember, PCR positive is all they needed to pretend they had it, to see how the immune system responds. Oh, cool. So what if it kills them? Well, that's the test. We're going to find out. Part of a new UK study. But we're not being tested on it all, guys. It's not a real world trial and we're not being tested on. It's been approved. So we keep hearing, well, just I'll get to that in a minute, including someone who actually just tweeted, but it's been approved, you liar. And I happily responded to that. Researchers at the University of Oxford on Monday launched the Human Challenge Trial to investigate what happens when volunteers who have recovered from the coronavirus disease are then reinfected with the virus a second time. Well, it could be catastrophic, couldn't it? And they could die. That's what they're going to find out. But it's not testing on people, though. The study, which is funded by, guess who? The Wellcome Trust. Of course. The group that's been tied in from event 201 to where we are now. Tied in with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and MasterCard and the whole big thing. And the whole vaccine passport thing. This is not totally coordinated at all. Is expected to start a... Why would they be involved with human testing? Because this is a coordinated agenda, guys. In the next few weeks after receiving ethics approval... Make sure you understand why they need to find out if this is even okay and could help accelerate the development of new treatments and vaccines against the disease. I don't understand why. I don't understand why finding out whether they can be, you know, I mean, the point is what this is going to be used for is to argue that you can get reinfected because that person tested positive with PCR. Oh, but they're asymptomatic. It's going to go, oh, it's okay. They're all asymptomatic the second time. Of course. But that will still be used to argue that you can get reinfected and we have to continue to lock down or get the vaccine because you can get reinfected, right? This is where this is going to lead. I promise you that. Human challenge studies have played a crucial role in the development of treatments for a number of diseases. A challenge study allows us to make these measurements very precisely because we know exactly when someone is infected. Or so they were telling themselves with a PCR test that's simply not doing what they think it is. The information from this work will allow us to design better vaccines and treatments and also to understand if people are protected after having COVID-19 and for how long. Exactly. Let's not pretend like that's not going to be used to argue that we need to stay in this lockdown scenario. The first stage of trial will involve 64 volunteers, 18 to 30. Right. Why does that make sense? Why would you choose the people who are young and healthy who are completely not at risk from this as opposed to the people who are clearly the ones that are the focus? Because this is a test. I don't know how many times I can reiterate this. Oh, and guess what? This new study is different to a parallel one, you know, where they're also testing on young, healthy people with COVID-19 in the middle of the worst pandemic in a century, which we're all supposed to die from, but they're testing on people right now, led by none other than the Imperial College London, the group who has been keeping this illusion going the whole time. Crazy. I want to reiterate this, what I read yesterday after talking about the media fear-mongering about vaccines. This is from the Jerusalem Post. And remember, it says they acknowledge that Pfizer vaccine has prevented serious coronavirus infection and mortality in children. Now, somebody just had they chastised me on my comment section and said, you should have seen that, Ryan. You should have known that's not the truth. Well, let me make a point here, guys. I can't make every single point about every single deviation every single time I come across it. There's a lot to discuss every time. How many times have I said that the number of risk from the CDC for children is 0%? 0%. I said it on that last show, by the way. I guess you just missed that. But the point was, I'm in no way suggesting by reading what the Jerusalem Post wrote to make my point that children are being infected. Right? What they're saying there is prevented serious coronavirus infection and mortality in children. And sure, I should have said then, my mind was focused on the next point, is that they're saying that in order to convince you that they are being infected. But I later said 0%. So I made the point nonetheless. But recognize when they say that the vaccines prevented serious coronavirus infection and mortality, it suggests that they're at risk. They're not. So how can you prevent 0%? Yeah, think about that for a second. But they love to say it because keeping the narrative that children are at risk is keeping people scared. And that goes back to this point where they're wrong. And if you actually understand, when you go through this and read more of the information, it's about children being at risk. It's about hospitalization. They're wildly fear-mongering. And both Republicans and Democrats all seem to think that children are all dying and everyone's in the hospital. And it's, you know, not all, but most of them. And that's not true. But yet We know that's not true, and we know the media is now pointing out that it's not true, and yet the delusion continues. Explain that to me. But going forward, the point is they're telling you, this is, they said children do not usually experience severe symptoms from the coronavirus, and the long-term possible, this was the point, the long-term possible side effects of the vaccine, for anyone, mind you, even if rare, would only be known after years of study. Ooh, they let that one slip, didn't they? The point is, we don't know the risks because we haven't studied it for years like they normally do. And the media, who are scared to death to admit that painfully, slapping you in the face obvious thing, are hiding this. That's what you have to understand. They know that. And they're pandering and gaslighting for the oligarchy, saying, well, they did this and they have things from before, because that's what they're told to say. But see, here we are being honest with you and telling you, no, if they're, and this is the Jerusalem Post making their point because they're trying to defend why, or arguing why children shouldn't be tested. I remember this is an article saying 100 doctors express opposition to vaccinating children, which is great, but they'll still ignore it. But we don't know the side effects. They know that, and they don't tell you that. It says it's also unclear how long immunity from the vaccine lasts, which we also keep telling you, which variants will it work against, how often booster shots will be needed, and what the far-reaching implications of the periodic immunization on the immune system and the evolution of the virus could be. Meaning, if we keep giving people this vaccine, what will that do? Why aren't we hearing these risks from anybody in the U.S. government or from the U.S. media? Because they won't tell you this. These are being spread all over the world. If you didn't hear this yesterday, make sure you hear this point. As the Jerusalem Post makes clear, the prevailing view among the scientific community, meaning the world, is that the vaccine cannot lead to herd immunity. Oh, gee, I wish that was being stated honestly in the media. If they know that, and they're not telling you, it's because they're concerned that that point will stop you from getting vaccinated, because that's all they care about. But if it doesn't lead to herd immunity, and it doesn't stop transmission, and it doesn't, you're not at risk, and you can still catch it, still spread, and all the other things, why in the world are you even entertaining this thing? Because the media is scaring people to do it. That's it. Period. Well, here's another alarming point that they're, I think, trying to hide behind something else. No more babies, from the Politico. The hormone-altering chemicals threatening human procreation. Weird. Another thing that's been happening that's seemingly hurting reproductivity. Well, this is even a little bit more alarming, though. And I argue this is not from the only thing they're saying in this article. I'm arguing this is probably in a lot more things than we realize. You know, if we can just get that population down about 10 or 15% with, you know, I'm sure you all know what that quote is from. This is not a secret. The idea that they want to reduce the population has not been a secret. And of course, they're not arguing they're going to go out and kill a lot of people because they don't want to scare you. But they're, well, you know, with condoms and birth control and whatever else. With using these things, we could get that down quite a bit. Well, it's because they want to reduce the population. You don't say bring the population down if you don't mean reduce it. That's the point. And we can, even arguing that exactly as it's stated, people will say conspiracy theory. No, they're clear about it because they say that the population is an issue, because if it's going to grow too high, this is an open discussion. So as we see a lot of these things leading in the same direction, kind of converging from all different directions to amount to a reduction in procreation, well, we should be concerned about that. Sperm counts are set to reach zero, it says, in 2045. Just scared the podcast there. Now it says, there's a looming solution to all of humanity's problems. By 2045, most men may no longer be able to reproduce because of the impact of hormone-altering chemicals. You realize they just called that a solution. Technically, they're saying that's the problem, excuse me. But what I find most telling about this is, you know who else is famous for talking about hormone-altering chemicals? Alex Jones. Of course, I always make that point that was meant to make you not pay attention to that point, to gay frogs and to undermine. The point was, for those that don't know that, is that there was a very real, real information coming out about how things were, I think it was industrial runoff or something that was leaking into the environment and causing hormone alterations in all sorts of different species. Right. And that was very real. Every time I want to say this, I wish I had it on hand because I would show it to you. But Alex Jones talked about it and it got boiled down to turning frogs gay. And then guess what didn't happen? Follow up on the runoff that was hurting the environment. Weird. It's almost like that's how that was supposed to go. These are people, whether he knew it or not, that are meant to be the like, so when we talk about it in a real way, they go, oh, he's talking gay frogs. That's a conspiracy theory. No, it's not, in fact. So when you think about stuff like that, remember that. I mean, it's funny that we're literally talking about hormone altering chemicals, and that's a normal thing, like Politico, just, you know, because they're there. We all know they're there, and that's going to kill your sperm by 2045. No big deal, though. Like, we know this is a fact and no one's talking about it. That seems pretty ridiculous. It says that's according to Sana Swan, a leading scholar of reproductive health. So the leading scholar on specifically reproductive health is telling you that hormone altering chemicals all across the planet are going to kill male sperm in a little more than 20 years. I don't understand why that's not a huge story. The current state of reproductive affairs can't continue much longer without threatening human survival. That adds yet another danger to the list of potential human calamities, but awareness of our looming reproductive demise still isn't widespread. Gee, maybe because that's not really alarming to people that are making it happen? Uh-oh, not allowed to say that on YouTube. 4 years ago, she calculated that the sperm count of the average man in Western countries had fallen by 59% from 1973 to 2011, making international headlines of a looming spermageddon, and then it quickly died off because nobody cared. Now, of course, when I say that people are making it happen, I'm not saying I know that as a matter of fact. Do I believe that there's a clear agenda to create policy that leads in that direction? 100%. And are there people that are leaning further into that narrative and maybe taking nefarious actions around that lead to the same end? I believe that. There's been countless powerful people with huge influence that have openly talked about depopulation before it became, you know, you go back so many years and eugenics was openly talked about like 20 years ago. This is crazy. This is a real discussion that needs to alarm us. And I want to know whether this discussion should be tied to the vaccine discussion. The reason, Swan said, may be growing exposure to endocrine disrupting chemicals found in everything from plastics, such as the mask you might be wearing, electronics, food packaging, and pesticides, to personal care products and cosmetics. Remember, the pesticides are the category of the things they're spraying to fight against COVID-19. I'm not just trying to find ways to connect it here. I just things that are popping into my head. And as such, are in the bodies of just about everyone on the planet. Why that is okay with us is beyond me. Why glyphosate can be in everyone's urine right now and on the clothes you're wearing and probably the air you're breathing, and we're okay with that, is beyond me. Why is it okay that there's lithium in our water, that there's probably lithium, but fluoride in our water? Or that people argue we should put lithium in the water. Not a joke. Politicians have said that. Or why there is aluminum barium in the air right now that they're openly doing. It's a Harvard study to stop climate change. These things are hurting everybody. Do you realize aluminum directly leads to Alzheimer's? That's one of the leading causes of death in the UK. And no one seems to care about these things because they're doing something to us. And either the agenda is more important or this is what they want to achieve. If these things, the most leading reproductive scientist is telling you are going to lead to this problem, and they're in everyone's bodies everywhere because they're ubiquitous, we've lost. This is what we need to turn around, guys. I mean, if that's even possible. From the level of these chemical, what's the right word for it? I'm trying to think just completely everywhere. This chemical, not drenching, but you know what I mean? The chemical, the fact that it's everywhere. I just saw that now that I did that, I just lost my point. No, I hate when that happens. But in any case, this should be one of the most important things that are happening. What I was going to say was the discussion of these chemicals being everywhere. I mean, in that vein of the discussion, this is one of the only places I find it almost impossible to be positive, because if it's ubiquitous, how do you fight back from something like that? And if we do, does it even mean we're going to get away from the repercussions of that ubiquitous nature of these just very clearly poisonous chemicals? You know, it's very disgusting. And the real point, it looks like we're having YouTube problems again. Yeah, don't worry, guys. For those that are they're having problems, I'm going to repost this everywhere else. YouTube doesn't matter. Remember that. But it says, the outlook for women isn't good either. The miscarriage rate has risen by 1% per year over the last two decades, and more girls are experiencing early puberty. If these trajectories continue, she warned, in vitro fertilization and other artificial reproductive technologies may become widely needed for conceiving children. What do you know? Oh, oh, you mean exactly like the kind of things that people like Bill Gates and the different people in that vein are working on right now? Isn't that strange? Artificial reproduction technologies? Strange. Just look up that phrase and see what pops up, right? This is an agenda, guys. Whether it's because this is happening naturally and they're just leaning into it, or because it's being made to happen. The fact that people are even afraid to ask those questions shows you how broken the journalism, the research is everywhere. Of course there are people that have that ends to do nefarious things. History is littered with them. So to pretend like it somehow is just absent from our government is childish. Absolutely childish. Goes on to say, but ultimately, it's not something that we can shop our way out of, right? So you go buy, you know, when I say vote with your dollar, this is the point, and that's why I find this one topic to be so hard to talk about, because you can't vote with your dollar in this regard. It's everywhere. Now, I mean, I shouldn't say that. You can find, you know, for instance, if you go completely Whole Food, which is pretty much what I'm doing, not Whole Foods, the place, but Whole Food, where you buy only fruits and vegetables and cook for yourself and meat. But the problem is you find a lot of these things in the meats, or, you know, that you have to get specifically organic and they have to trust that it is. Now, there are ways around it, but the vast, vast majority of the world is not even capable financially to do that. You see what I mean? And so this is a impossible situation that we need to do something about regardless. It says, adding that we don't have different chemicals in the products that we buy, and that's a job of our government and our chemical industry. Yeah, shocker. You mean the chemical and the regulatory agencies that are supposed to make sure these things aren't happening but don't care at all because they're all profiting too, and the government's swinging in and out of those positions in the revolving door situation we have? Because we're not broken at all. Guys, all of this stuff should be slapping us in the face every day. And all we can scream about is some trial that just happened while they tear our world down. The reason is a mouse. A 2017 study found that a rodent is exposed to an estrogenic chemical. This might shock you a little bit too. Let me start over. Now, this statement seems in a weird way to lead to another agenda. And maybe that's the point. I don't know where, I wasn't sure where I wanted to connect this, but you guys think about this and come to your own conclusions, because it seems a little telling to me. The reason this all came about was a mouse. It says, a 2017 study that found if a rodent is exposed to an estrogenic chemical, so estrogen for females, shortly after birth, even if it's a male, but never again has contact with the substance, guess what? Sperm count was completely restored in 3 generations. So is that the truth? And why would estrogen cause that? I mean, that's a genuine question. Maybe it will. Or is there something weirder happening there? And we're talking about using estrogen type chemicals on males for some weird reason that does very clearly seem to lean in to a larger thing that seems to be happening. I found that to be pretty weird, but who knows? Because I'll tell you one thing, that the ultimately, if you have a copulation of males that are softer, more feminized, you have a population that is less resistant, that is less able to resist. And that's in no way to suggest that women can't resist too. My point is that we're all big grown-ups here, and we can all acknowledge that men generally tend to be bigger and stronger just by the way that they're made. Doesn't mean women can't grow to be bigger and stronger. The point is, if you create a situation where the typical fighting force of a community is losing those things, what does that create? Just a thought. As much as that's an honest thought, I'm sure people out there will flip out about it because we're all so sensitive, but it's a fact. Now, going forward, if all they are going to do after finding a life-threatening issue, like we just showed you many of, is scream that, but the benefits outweigh the risks, that we still do not fully understand, by the way, which I just clearly demonstrated, then why do the study at all? Because it's an illusion of safety. The EU regulator recommends warning labels on the J&J vaccine. Right? They scream, well, yes, we know it's there, but the risk, the benefits outweigh the risks. Okay, so why, if the study was simply going, if you were going to follow that by saying, do it anyway, why do the study at all? They want you to feel like they're being safe. Now, I found this interesting. Somebody just posted, would you get the COVID-19 shot for $5,000? Be honest. Guess what you're going to find? If you go through this, you will find probably, in my opinion, 99% of people that are saying absolutely not. Now, sure, maybe there's an echo chamber here. I mean, you think everyone will find a reason to make it what they want it to be. That's the broken nature in which the mainstream media has created. But my point is, if you just scroll down, you will find death risk for 5K. Nah, you know, burial expenses exceed $10,000. You know, just on and on and on. It's crazy. So interesting thought that it seems I keep showing you the majority peeking its head out. Also on top of that, this is interesting. She works for the New York Times. I thought there was like a discernible title in there, but it says breaking news. The United States military will begin offering to vaccinate the detainees at Guantanamo Bay later today. And this was on the 19th in an effort to protect troops stationed there, or what it really is, another experiment, an ongoing experiment. That's what happened in prisons. That's what's happening here. It's a test. And so the point is why? Because they want to protect themselves. Right. So it's in order, in effect, to protect the troops stationed there. OK, so first of all, remember that I think it was 60% of Marines said no. And a third of the military at large said, no, we're not taking this thing. So is that because they're refusing and they know they don't want this thing? So they have to do that because they are trying to, or is it because, or like, the point was, if they're vaccinated, which is the argument, right? If they're there, the argument, they're probably vaccinated, the guards. So why would the inmates need to be vaccinated? Are they coming in contact with people that have, well, no, they're inmates. So what's happening here? Why do they need to have it to stop the risk if they're not going anywhere and not in contact with any from the outside? Well, because it's a test. This is a constant experiment. And that's what we need to understand. Now, you could even still argue they're doing it for the right reasons because they care about people and they want to fight off COVID-19. You know, and I would laugh at you if you said that, but that's just my opinion. But the point is, regardless, we all have to acknowledge this is a clear test, an experiment. Norwegian Institute of Public Health recommends stopping AstraZeneca. So now that is Denmark and Norway both saying we are stopping 100% the AstraZeneca vaccine because it causes blood clots. The Norwegian Institute of Public Health has recommended stopping further use. Now, it hasn't actually stopped yet because it has to go through a committee and they have to decide again, which they'll probably say no. But this is Norwegian Institute of Public Health, which should be the deciding factor, I would argue. Stop. No longer using it. Now, by the way, on that point, that would be something like the FDA or a group in that nature saying this. And if they routinely showed themselves to be in the interest of big pharma, well, then that's when you step in and go, okay, Norwegian Institute of Public Health, you're gone. Now we're going to find something. Like the people are supposed to be in charge, right? But ultimately, it shouldn't be they decide and then a committee decides again. Like, it just seems odd to me personally. And I bet you that committee is jam-packed with the wrong people, as usual. But it says, quote, we know significantly more about the association between the AstraZeneca vaccine and the rare but severe incidences with low platelet counts, blood clots, and hemorrhages. It's there. That's happening, despite what the U.S. media continues to lie about. It's funny because you'd think they would like to fearmonger, but no. See, they have a narrative. They have an agenda. So if it's all about fearmongering, they'd be like, well, you could die from the vaccine. Nope, because the vaccine's the agenda. Quote, based on this knowledge, we come with a recommendation to remove the AstraZeneca vaccine from the coronavirus immunization program in Norway. It's going away. Oh, this was interesting. I just wanted to share this based on, because I told you I'd get to this point. This person says this. False. It's proved. But somebody points this out. I thought it was interesting. I'm glad you mentioned they're talking about virtually all medications say this. Where does it say that it has any contradictions? This guy's asking based on this tweet. He says, as you have zero evidence to disprove it, pregnancy, breastfeeding. Okay, so the point was just what he says here. So we're commenting on him. I'm glad you met, but I mentioned it that because any approved vaccine has a vaccine insert, none exist with COVID yet because it's under emergency use. Isn't that interesting? But he points out from a different vaccine where it says under 13.1, which you will have under an insert once they actually approve these, if they ever do, which that's not even guaranteed to happen, which means you'll never fully know, which is probably the point. It says this one has not been evaluated for these things, and it has an impairment of male fertility, or hasn't been studied for that, which means if you're taking this Adacel drug, you don't know whether it impairs your male fertility, which is probably leading to the overall infertility that we're seeing from that mass study, because who knows? We didn't test for it. His point is simply that we don't, one, know what's in these vaccines, like as the insert would describe, because we don't have them yet because they haven't been approved, as well as the fact that when they do come out, we'll probably see something similar like this anyway, because that's what's classically normal. But then this was the real point. Cecilia, in quotes, for some reason, says, false. Pfizer's approved. To which I say, I post the actual link, which I'll show you with the big fact sheet updated on April 6, 2021, that says there is no U.S. FDA approved vaccine to prevent COVID-19. And I say, any questions? Or will, dang it, you, I don't know how I do that all the time as a typo for those in the podcast, or will you just ignore the facts and continue spreading medical misinformation? Don't you love how we're spinning that on them, right? Tell them they're spreading medical misinformation, because they are. You're not. When you say it's not approved, you're stating the facts. When they're saying it is approved, that's medical misinformation. Turn it on them, because it's the truth. But I linked to it, and that's why she didn't respond, because she's probably flipping out about how she didn't know that, and or I'm fake news somehow, and whatever the thing is. But here's the actual document for you to read, and I'll include the link for yourself. This is from April. Oh, hold on. I had it highlighted so you could see it. So here, this is the document. You can see it right here. Dang it. What the heck was that? That was strange. I must hit one of those links maybe. But you can see down here, it says revised April 6th, 2021. Just so we're clear. So I'm not some kind of sleight of hand. The Pfizer biotech COVID vaccine is a vaccine and may prevent you from getting COVID-19. May prevent you, because they don't know. There is no U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved vaccine to prevent COVID-19. Make sure we understand that, guys. That's not from a year ago. That is current. That's been updated as of April. Now, I believe they do it every month. This is not approved, because it's not. Despite what the people out there, and you know why? You know why Claire thinks it is? Because the media lies, because they want you to think this is, again, not even in a negative way, right? That should be it's like a positive lie, but it's still lying. And this is what the real point is, because they want you to think that it's way more alarmingly dangerous and to go get the vaccine. That's where it all leads to, but it's not approved. So you shouldn't take this. And by the way, that's why they're going to lean into the businesses making it coercive, because technically they can't make it coercive without it being approved. They might even still do that, by the way, because they're doing all sorts of other things they shouldn't be able to do. But that's the point. Here's another point. Here's the FDA document about the third emergency authorized COVID vaccine, which is really stupid, by the way, that they're doing. They're only emergency authorizing these things, even though there's already ones that are emergency authorized. Like, why don't we actually make them approved if one's already authorized? This is the point, because when they're emergency authorized, it's all a different game. They can hide things. They can pretend like we're in a danger situation. They can claim we're still in emergency. But this is for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which, by the way, was just suspended by the FDA. Weird, right? Almost like they didn't test it properly. But here's what it says. I want everyone out there, including Cecilia in quotes, to understand what this says. The issuance of an emergency use authorization is different than an FDA approval licensure of a vaccine, in that a vaccine available under emergency use authorization is not approved, meaning one, that they're not approved, obviously, and two, that there's no such thing as being approved as emergency use authorization. You're either authorized for emergency use or you're approved. There's no middle meddling of these two things. They're muddling these together because they want you to be confused about it. I just happened to look over. Jerry, yes, I did. I covered the two-year-old that died. I believe there's two of them, actually. I saw, but that could have been the same report, but it looked like different information. But in any case, we know for a fact that there's one incidence on VAERS right now of a two-year-old dying in a vaccine trial, which is horrific. Horrific. And now they might have herpes, they might be giving babies herpes too with these horrific vaccines. And it's all happening in real time because people aren't stopping it, because not enough people are standing up. Now, I want to go over this again really quickly for those that might not have seen it, because there's an update to this. This was a document from McKinsey Health from Ontario. Basically, I won't read it all over again, but the point is simply saying they got a saline shot instead of a vaccine. So the point was, why in the world would these vaccine distributors have saline shots at all? In a syringe, understand, that could be then accidentally given. Either this was meant to be a real-world test for people to see that they have, they're giving placebos and they're giving the real ones and these are being tested. Or as somebody put it, it's the celebrity vaccine being exposed, where they have fake ones back there for people that don't want it. These are just thoughts, considerations. But there was also, oh, here is actually just the tweet, but here, there was also the Walgreens in North Carolina did the same thing. This is April 18th. Same, and by the way, the same time frame, right? That's what I find most interesting. This is up until April 1st, right? This happens, what was the date? Posted on April 18th, but I don't think they actually gave a date in here. But if it's reported on April 18th, you can argue that it happened probably in the exact same time frame. So this seems like a coordinated test, my opinion. North Carolina Walgreens accidentally gives out dose of saline instead of COVID-19 vaccine. Very, very strange to me. Now, here's the point. Our argument was that this doesn't make sense. And I said, I looked into this and I don't see any reason whatsoever that not only would they even have saline, but they wouldn't have saline syringes. Now, it turns out there is a reason they would have saline. But my point stands, and I'll show you why. Because there's literally no reason this would be inside of a syringe to be given to somebody unless there was something weird happening. And of course, maybe one time, maybe because some new person did one thing and made it, nope, but not at two different locations, multiple locations, across multiple days with multiple people. No, this is something very nefarious, in my opinion. As Pete Lincoln also points out, I feel the exact same way. Concerning Walgreens, saline is used to dilute the concentrated vial, which contains 6 doses. The syringe then withdraws the diluted vaccine, right? It does not take saline. It says there is no way to get pure saline into the syringe. That's the point. And I agree with him. Unless you did so by design to reduce Vayer's reports. That's another possibility, right? A lot of people are considering this. So we're clear on this. Here is the Pfizer biotech COVID-19 vaccine information. And it does clearly say dilute sodium chloride, normal saline, and discard the vial when there's not enough. Remember this, we talked about before, because we had people that were accidentally given double, triple the dose because oops, we combined them. And even though they weren't supposed to, and it's like, oh yeah. And you know, there's so many things that people just chalked up to like, oops, as I always say, they'd rather be incompetent than criminal in your eyes. But so we're clear, there is a diluted aspect to this, right? Here's what they're actually saying as the justification. It says patients thought they were given a Pfizer shot, but instead were injected with a saline solution. It happens at the Walgreens in Monroe. Now is that's still North Carolina, right? Yeah, Monroe, North Carolina. So it goes on to say, we're now learning more about how a mistake like this could happen. Walgreens now say 22 people got the saline shot. So we're going to pretend that they went to fill this thing up. An empty syringe, right? I argue that it would be, as he's saying, it would be inserted back into the vial, which is the way it's supposed to be done, in any case, let's just make this the most easy to argue that it's possible, because I'm going to show you anyway that it's not, that if they had to take some saline out of the syringe and then take some Pfizer vaccine out of the syringe, which by the way, leaves open this entirely crazy realm of mistake for people at Walgreens. Are we really going to pretend like the person working at Walgreens, whether a physician or a pharmacist or not, is going to be perfectly accurate on measuring, delivering vaccines in a syringe and measuring it out every time? That's crazy to me. But what's different than anything else we've been doing? It's all about, I mean, it's the same thing as masks and everything else. It's not, there's no real safety there. It's about just doing what they tell you to do and complying with it. But so you have 22 of that same example. So 22 times you did that same thing where you don't get the second, you don't do what you're supposed to do. And these are people. And so again, the point, let's just say that is what happened. So we're trusting these people to put these dangerous things in people's bodies when 22 times they can make this mistake? No, this is not what happened. On Sunday night, it says the woman and her husband were two of the ones impacted. They called us. I believe that was it. I thought that I had this highlighted. He says a Pfizer vaccine arrives in a concentrated form. Here it is. That's what I wanted to read. She said she was told the pharmacist had forgotten to mix the vaccine. 22 times? Because understand, if you only got 6 doses in here, you're not going to, that mean you have to break that down to at least 5 or 6 times. You can't pretend. No, it'd be 4 times, 4 or 5 times. But the point is you can't pretend like they could do this 22 times in a row. He forgot to mix it. It says, he says the Pfizer vaccine arrives in a concentrated form and must be diluted in the saline solution before it goes in arms. Moderna's different and comes ready to go. I could see maybe if individuals are used to doing different vaccines each day, it could be a little confusing. So because they're claiming that Moderna's ready to go, that they're saying that they took these things out, even though they have to take the vaccine out anyway, that they somehow didn't realize that they were giving the wrong one and understand in and took in saline first, even though they're confusing with Moderna, which doesn't get saline. You follow? Because that's what they're claiming right there. So somehow they were thinking Moderna. So we're going to take just saline because this is a saline vial, but we're Moderna and oops, and 22 times in a row, because that totally makes sense. No, it doesn't. This is a very flimsy narrative, and there's something very nefarious happening here, in my opinion. It says, quote, I could see maybe if individuals are used to doing it each day. It says, Prince says his pharmacy takes extra precautions, like giving Pfizer and Moderna on different days to avoid confusion. In a statement, well, I mean, God, this is so crazy that even, like, so do they only hand out certain medications on certain days so they don't mix them up? Like, this is just dumb. Walgreens said it contacted people who are affected and basically just said, you have to come back in and get these vaccines. And of course, they dutifully went back in and got them again from the person who gave them something wrong, because that's a smart person. Let me go back into that same person. Give me something else. And just we'll cross our fingers. You don't mess up this time. All jokes aside, this is ridiculous. And this is this is not possible in my opinion. There's something crazy happening here, whether it's a real world test, and this is currently the test, and they want their control arm, or this is something about people who don't want to get the vaccine, or as Pete puts it, to reduce the VAERS reports, to make it look like they're far less than they really are, knowing that the real agenda is not even about actually giving them to protect them, it's just to get it in people's arms. So the occasional placebo out there to make it look better doesn't really hurt the agenda. In any case, guys, I don't know how we can see this as anything else as something that's concerning. But there's one more thing I want to show you on this arm of the discussion, no pun intended. And there's a lot of these out there. And as we always should know, despite how you probably know I feel, that we should state that there could be an answer to this. That doesn't mean I even think that, understand? It just means that we're objective and we're willing to be completely objective at all times, even if I have an opinion. And that is the fact that this video I'm going to show you, yes, it could be an explanation, and that it's not what it looks like. But here's the video, and I actually, I believe I did download this. Let me try and do it on here. There it is. Holding it right now. His arm up. Holding the shot. And squirt.
All done.
That's quite a bit, actually.
Let me just put a band-aid, and I need to hand you over your vaccination card, okay?
Thank you.
You okay?
Yeah.
Okay, you didn't pass out on me, right?
No. I didn't mind.
Okay, all right. So let me. All done.
Right. Now, I mean, let's play devil's advocate, right? So could it be that she did it and there was some left and she decided to squirt it out because, of course, she can't reuse it? I don't believe that, but is it possible? Sure. You know, are there possibilities? I mean, the people were saying, oh, well, they have to squirt out the air bubbles. Well, no, she got he was vaccinated according to what they stated before that happened. Now, maybe there's someone out there that can explain that that's a common thing. And I'm sure there's going to be somebody out there that will say that even if it's not true. But in any case, there's a lot of examples of that weirdness going on. And I think that there's more happening here. And I just wanted to include it in that discussion because it's strange to me. And as we remember, the amount they give is not that much. So the amount that came out of that syringe, that's strange to me. Very strange. But as always, question everything. Moving on to lockdown. Toronto. Now, by the way, a quick follow-up on the idea that it seems that there are Ontario police that are actually resisting this thing, but at the same time, there's a lot of people that have just continued on anyway, which means it's not as positive as it was made out to be. So it is. It seems like it's continuing to get more authoritarian, despite a couple of police that were resisting that are now being pushed back into line. At least that's what I'm hearing from people in Canada. But this, research it for yourself. But here's the point directly from Ontario Star. Today's coronavirus news: Ontario scrambles to launch provincial sick leave program, and Toronto and Peel issue orders to close workplaces with outbreaks. Okay, so we're going to close workplaces now if they've got outbreaks based on a PCR test that we're forced testing on people as often as possible. Right, I wonder what'll happen, right? When you continue to get more testing, well, guess what? You're going to continue to get more false positives, which is the point. Now it says, Toronto says it will temporarily close any non-essential businesses that have had five or more COVID-19 cases in previous 2 weeks. That only means a PCR positive test. That's it. So if you just suddenly went around the workplace and just tested everybody, how much you want to bet you'll get at least five false positives, especially if you're doing 35 to 45 cycle thresholds, which means probably almost all of them false positive. Oh, suddenly everything's a closed down. The moment they do this, it's how they initiate the lockdown fear again. And then all of a sudden they close down. So the neighbor ones test and they get closed down. And then all of a sudden the country starts testing because everyone's closing down. And then suddenly we're in danger again. And guess what? Flu disappears again. And all of a sudden, it's the same old thing over and over. Public health officials say the closures will be in effect for a minimum of 10 days. And guess what? Workers are then required to self-isolate, even if you weren't tested, even if you weren't sick, but just because the business closed. So this is an ongoing control mechanism that just goes out and out and out and out. And as I pointed out, just as relevant in the other point, they're telling us in the mainstream that they're... What's important to understand is not that they're doing it, but that they're saying that the report was leaked emails, right? So they secretly know this, but don't tell you that they are now considering scaling back the testing with these PCR tests because of what I just said, because of false positives, due to a growing number of false positives. And this is something that's not now happening. It's a growing number. It's always been growing, but they want that to sound like it just started. This has been the same problem from the beginning of when this started. This is the linchpin of the illusion. Just like we talked about in the past one. Just like we talked about in regard to the pandemic that wasn't. There it is. Perfect. I haven't brought this up in a minute, but I'll leave this up for people to research after the fact. It's going to take a second to load. I have it on Web Archive. Faith in quick tests leads to epidemic that wasn't. And guess what that test was? PCR. Right there. The decision was set to use the PCR test. It says, until recently was confirmed. But basically the point is, you can see in here that they come to the point where the whole thing was a false alarm, right? What they tell you is that their over-reliance on that test developed a fake pandemic, or epidemic in this case. Right. And this the story, long short of it, is they shut down an entire area. They shut down multiple locations. They sent everyone home. 6 months this went on based on the PCR test that they thought they had a whooping cough epidemic. There wasn't a single case. They thought the PCR test was positive and they thought they saw symptoms. So they assumed it was there. It was nothing but the cold and people had sniffles. And then they tested PCR. And what do you know? Everyone they tested was showing positive. So they thought they had a pandemic. People were given vaccines. People were given different treatments. They were put on bed rest. This whole thing went on for months. And it turned out later that they did. And they tell you in this that it was because of our over-reliance on the PCR test. And they even go on to state that this will be a problem in the future. And it's not even the first time it's happened. Do you think our government doesn't know about this? They probably read this and said, perfect. That's what we're going to use. Otherwise, how do you explain this? We know that the PCR test, as these doctors admitted, led to the illusion they're experienced for 6 months because it led to false positives. But we'll pretend like we don't know now, right? We're not sure. Oh, and breaking news, the Guardian's finding leaked documents that say what we have known for years is the truth. This is what mainstream media does. If in 2007, we know the false positive led to a fake pandemic or an epidemic, why are we pretending like this needs to be sussed out by journalism? It's there. We know it. It's because the mindless people out there watching mainstream are only listening to what they're telling them. But the point being, even as it gets released in breaking news on The Guardian, is that they know that there's false positives and they use them to close you down. Or maybe they don't. Maybe they think they're actually sick. But at some level, people know that this is an illusion. here's what's happening right now in Ontario from the people that are supposed to be resisting this authoritarian dictatorship.
No, trust me.
What are you doing,
bud? Come here.
That's a young kid.
Trust me. What are you doing, bud? He's 12 years old.
He's failing to identify. Okay, so that means you can push the kid to the ground and take his scooter? These are authoritarian dictators. These are mindless enforcers. These are not police. These are the enforcement arm. He doesn't care about the Constitution. He doesn't care about that kid's rights. He doesn't care about child abuse. I mean, for crying out loud, how in the world is that guy allowed to physically assault a child to the ground because he's not identifying himself? It's not new, not just from COVID. We've seen plenty of cops do it. But this is constant. And this is Ontario. That's the gist of it. I mean, the kid comes out and talks to him and they give him a hard time. It's just, this is happening in the very place where it's getting worse and worse and worse. But it's not just Ontario, guys. It's everywhere. Someone's saying it's probably just the low screen. It's the stream. That's all it is. It's not the wrong screen. I just played the video. So just catch it on another platform other than YouTube and you'll probably be good. So going forward, armed checkpoints appear along Ontario Manitoba border. And what, to be honest though, anywhere that I'm currently live streaming is probably being affected, but I will upload this everywhere else afterward from a local recording that will be hopefully perfectly fine. Armed checkpoints appear along Ontario Manitoba border, right? This is authoritarianism. This is a dictatorship. Without the snow and pine trees, drivers could be mistaken for believing it to be the Texas-Mexico border. Ontario Premier Doug Ford announced on Friday authorities would start manning the borders at 12:01 a.m. Monday, making sure only essential travelers were getting into the province, or leaving for that matter. Should an individual not have a valid reason to enter Ontario, they will be turned back. Crazy. Yeah, guys, I mean, as long as you can hear me in the chat, I mean, you can hear me, that it's probably just the stream, right? So let's just keep going. I mean, the video I already showed. It's right here. I apologize for the stream. There's nothing I can do about it. So we'll keep going. Here is a video that was shared that I just want to play the beginning part of it because I don't actually agree with the kind of sentiment, even though it's not necessarily wrong. It's more subjective and personal, but I just want you to hear what these people are saying in the beginning.
Moving forward, police will have the authority to require any individual who is not in a place of residence to first provide their purpose for not being at home and provide their home address. Police will also have the authority to stop a vehicle to inquire about an individual's reason for leaving their residence.
And you hear that? So you can't even leave your home without having a reason. What, Orwell, can you see this video now? I think it should be good now. I hope it's caught up. Let me know. I'm going to keep playing this. At least you can hear it, I would imagine.
Inspectors will also be ensuring that those who
purpose for not place of residence to first provide their purpose for not being at home and provide their home address. Police will also have the authority to stop a vehicle to inquire about an individual's reason for leaving their residence.
And our inspectors will also be ensuring that those who absolutely must come to work are strictly following the public health measures. For our employers and employees, take note. This is your last warning.
If someone sees their neighbors breaking these new regulations, and having a party in their yard, that sort of thing. Should people call police on their neighbors?
If it means saving lives, then I think we have to think about what your social responsibilities are as an individual to make sure that you don't empower other people and invite a whole bunch of individuals to your home.
Wow, that's just crazy. I mean, that's just crazy. That's Dave Rubin. He makes his own personal comments right there. He basically says that these are like evil people. And, you know, honestly, I pretty much agree. But I just tend not to go into the realm of, you know, I mean, look, do we know for sure that the person stating that is lying to us or that they believe it one way. Because I mean, his argument is that they're just completely brainwashed, which I agree with. Anyway, the point is not that I disagree with what he's saying. I just wanted to show you the statements they made. And thank you, Orwell, that you guys, I'm glad you guys can see it now. I don't know why the screen is acting funny, but going forward, this, I can't even believe. Like this actually, I thought this was the B or the Babylon B, or I thought this was fake. I couldn't believe this is actually real. Long-term care executives in Ontario, mind you, it just seems to be constantly in Ontario, gives themselves big bonuses claiming, quote, 100% customer satisfaction during COVID-19. This isn't a joke. This is a nursing home in Ontario that had a rough time of it, telling you that they have 100% customer satisfaction. What about those that died from COVID-19? What about the people that you wouldn't let see their family members before they died? What about all sorts of things that people are really unhappy about? But sure, they don't need to claim the truth to give themselves bonuses. Did Wall Street do that? I mean, when they gave the money out to 2000? No, they just pay themselves and nothing happens because this is the way of the broken governments that we have. Big bonuses after 100% satisfaction from one of the most catastrophic situations we've seen in regard to nursing homes, at least in my lifetime. And then guess what? Chartwell, that's what this next tweet was actually saying, that the long-term care company also rejected a proposal to give their frontline workers a living wage, but sure enough, gave themselves a huge bonus for lying about how they help people. God, it makes me sick. What's going on right now is very unnerving. Also recognize the LA mayor has already initiated a $24 million guaranteed income pilot program because universal basic income is a conspiracy theory like all the rest of them, right, guys? And this is interesting. And I just wanted to include this for you guys to kind of run down for the lockdown discussion. The point is this is a thread that gets into, I'll read this. It says his first and possibly last tweet. I am mostly here to learn. It is promoted by prompted by a recent study questioning lockdown efficacy that is getting a lot of attention. It appears people believe it to be the first of its kind. But I have been collecting similar studies since March 2020. Good for this guy, right? Because this is what keeps happening. I bet you this study he's talking about is probably from some mainstream outlet that's trying to be like, breaking news, lockdowns don't work, and suddenly we're all on the same page. And it's like, no, guys, we've been screaming this for 8 months or more. I've been screaming this since the very beginning of lockdowns even being discussed. You remember, you've been here. But here's what he does. He puts together a compilation of seven different studies from back in the 2020s. Back in 2020, excuse me, 2020. It says, the online library says, quote, there is no evidence that more restrictive non-pharmaceutical interventions, lockdowns, or even masks, by the way, that's included in that because that's a non-pharmaceutical intervention, contributed substantially to bending the curve of the new cases in England, or France, or Germany, or Iran, or Italy, or Netherlands, or Spain, or the United States in early 2020. Trust the science, right? MedRxIV, which is one that's not peer-reviewed, inferences on effects of non-pharmaceutical interventions are non-robust and highly sensitive to model speculation. Oh, you mean like the Imperial College? Yeah, exactly. The Lancet. I hope you'll take the time. I've read most of these, actually. I hope you'll take the time to read each of these for yourself. Government actions such as border closures, full lockdowns, and high rate of COVID-19 testing were not associated with statistically significant reductions, which is all that matters in science. Statistically significant in reducing transmission, statistically significant reductions, statistically significant. I was saying that incorrectly. That is all that matters in regard to the science. And yet the only things that they'll point to don't talk about that. And yet the ones that do point out that these aren't statistically significant are ignored, which is called trusting the science. Quote, this is from advanced.sagepub. Official data from Germany RKI agency suggests strongly that the spread of coronavirus in Germany reduced autonomously before any lockdowns. ARXIV.org, the decline of infections in England began before lockdown, which is what we just discussed the other day. We know this. Data science, the UK lockdown was both superfluous, it did not prevent an otherwise explosive behavior of the spread of the coronavirus, and ineffective. Of course, the explosive spread, I would argue, is caused by a lot of other things, including false positives, but that's a different discussion. Israel, Times of Israel, quote, given that the evidence reveals that the corona disease declines even without a complete lockdown, it is recommendable to reverse the current policy and remove the lockdown from 2020. Trust the science, guys. And he goes on. There's eight minds. I mean, there's a bunch of them. But I'll let you read these for yourselves. Finally, I wanted to play this just because I find this quite interesting. Let me get the video up here. I believe, here we go. Now, this is a politician that's confronted by a pub owner in the UK. And he says, I mean, I'll read the tweet while you're looking at this. It says, Labour leader Keir Starmer, let's see if you pronounce that, kicked out of London pub by COVID scam aware landlord, is how he frames it. It says, this is the first time any politician, this is what I agree with, has been promptly questioned on video on the COVID subject in 15 months. The absolute first time. Think about that. Make this go viral, he says. But realize how crazy that this kind of thing isn't happening. And what this shows you is that the people, not what the media says they think, but the people are fed up. And what they're doing, this is what he feels, the average people on the ground, in regard to these politicians meandering around with their cameras, acting like they're doing the right thing. By the way, none of them wearing masks, none of them doing what they tell us we should be doing. Even though I don't think they should be, just so we're clear on that. And the volume's a little wonky on this. Like, it gets really low on his time. But just watch it through. He asked him what the average age of COVID, of death of COVID was. 82 years. According to their
normally, 81 years. Do you understand that we have fucked our economy because old people are dying?
Your mouth.
You see this graph? The last time we had this much death was 2008.
Now, this is from the NHS.
That's the British Medical Journal. No, I came here to speak to this man, not your security. You have failed me.
Thank you.
I've been a Labour voter my entire life. You have failed to be the opposition. You have failed to ask whether lockdown was functioning.
There's a car just behind. Can we just...
Do you understand?
Can we go in?
Thousands of people have died because you have failed to do your job and ask the real questions.
Now, I funny, the guy frames this as a lockdown scam aware. I actually feel like this guy is arguing that he didn't do enough with the lockdown. And it doesn't, it's the same point either way. It's the same thing either way. Right? People keep saying the screen is frozen. Guys, I'm sorry. I get it. You can't, it doesn't help to keep telling me. There's nothing I could do about it in this moment. So listen to me as the podcast would. Right? So thank you guys for letting me know. Now, going forward, the guy is angry because the government is not doing what he thinks they should. That's the point. Right? I think the way he's arguing, it seems like he's saying that there was a lot of death and that they did it, they didn't make sure the lockdown was strict. Either way, the point is that shows you that even people that think those things are unhappy with the government is off the rails and doing what they want. You realize that? There's not even like a side right now that thinks they're doing the right. The side that thinks it's all real thinks they're not doing their job because everyone's dying because they're telling them they are, even though I don't think that's what's actually happening. The other side sees the illusion and screaming they're not listening to us because I don't know why we can't see this stuff.
Well, I am telling you now, and I hope this goes out, you have failed this country. You have seriously failed. You have allowed our children to wear masks in school when it's never been any evidence for it.
Guys, I can't have enough carpet, please. Do you want to come on in here, Mum? Go on in,
Yeah, great point. The only guy with a mask keeps touching it, which is which is the point, which means he should have changed it and washed his hands twice every time he did that, according to the CDC. But yeah, because we know that happens every time. And just so, Akeem, so you know, there's an issue with the stream for people to know that who are just tuning in. It's not something I can do about right now. The screen's playing just fine. I can see it on my end. And I can actually see it on YouTube that I'm looking at, so I'm not sure why it's not working. In any case, it's a connectivity issue. So just listen to me if you can hear me. I apologize.
They've been on the front line keeping people alive. So I'm really going to need lectures from you about this pandemic.
You've got one.
Can we come in?
Okay.
How are you doing?
That man is not allowed in my house.
No, Lord.
It's not.
I'm not going to physically hurt him. That man. Oi!
I'm
That's assault. I am not bothering you. I am not bothering him. That man is not allowed in my pub. Get out of my pub. Go on. Get out of my pub.
Good for him.
Thank you.
I honestly can't believe that he went in that pub, first of all. Secondly, sorry, I'm just kind of getting a kick out of people in the chat continuing to say the same thing that I can see. So I'm sorry, guys. I don't know what you're doing wrong because I'm watching it play on the YouTube right now. But that guy got violent with him. Right? I mean, he physically shook the guy around. Like, this is his pub. That's the landlord. And you're coming in to go like, dude, get out. You don't just because he's a politician doesn't mean that you can't. I mean, you're in his property, guys. You just assaulted him on his property because you went on there without permission. I know it's a public place, but he told you to leave. Isn't that crazy? I mean, it just shows you the kind of omnipotent power they think that they have. Wild. That was it. The gist of it. All right, get back to it. Okay. Finally, where are we on time? 2 hours, 11. I'm going to try to rattle through this quite quick. I don't think I've got a lot to talk about here on the mask discussion to kind of finish this out. This is crazy. Oscar attendees won't have to wear masks, Academy says, because that makes sense, right? I mean, look, even if they're, let's say, all vaccinated and tested, which is the nonsense they keep saying about politicians in the beginning before they weirdly all started wearing masks anyway. So were they lying about that in the beginning, or are they now just wearing them to make us feel good? Or, you know, one of those makes sense, right? It's funny. Nobody picks up these things, right? In the beginning, remember, they kept going, well, it's okay, Trump, or, and even by the world, we're all tested here, so it's okay. They're not doing that now. Were they wrong? Were they lying? Who cares, right? But Oscars, they wanted to wear them. Attendees. It says, I said, so we were right all along. Here comes the slow walk back of the, and I meant to say coercive works, I guess, measures, pretending the vaccine that less than a third of people have completed has saved us all, right? And of course, I said problem, reaction, solutions. I hate my typos. But as this person points out, the crazy thing, the actors cried out about how they were not safe around shooting crew and called for all kinds of crazy requirements for the film crews to abide by to work. Ended up with the IASTE having 71 pages of crew COVID safety requirements to work. Masks are required for the crew in a building where the attendees won't be wearing masks. Does that make sense? No, but nor does a lot of the stuff around this ridiculous narrative. It's why I honestly think it's because all these Oscar stars are some of the most uninformed people in the world because they think they're informed by listening to the people they think are on the inside, which are just other mindless repeaters in the mainstream media. In any case, probably because they think they've, you know, got Brian Stelter's phone number. They know everything, right? No, these guys don't know anything, in my opinion. And a lot of them are some of the most scared people out there. You've seen Tom Cruise with his massive mask on all the time. These guys are terrified. Because they believe what's going on in some degrees. Maybe some of them know something. But at the end of the day, they're so scared. They go, make those cameramen wear those things that are hurting them and making them sick. And who cares? Because I'm scared. But I'm not at risk. But make them do it anyway. Right? And this is the point. Because none of it makes sense. And this continues. And I wanted to share this. Thank you for Victory Jen for sharing this. I want people to continue to tag me and share. Hashtag mask revolt. Every time you see a mask littered on the ground. And I know how much that will be if you all honestly do it. If you all honestly do it, my entire feed will be of masks, and I want it to be. Because they are everywhere. Every single day I go out in different locations, I find multiple masks. Every single day. I don't even honestly post them every day. It's crazy. They're constant. And it's disgusting. And it's ruining a lot of things other than your health. Because it's ruining that too. But here's something someone posted I think is funny. A pandemic virus so dangerous that face masks are thrown out in a normal bin in a hospital. Instead of a biohazard bin. That's a hospital. That makes sense, right? If the virus is so deadly and contagious, why aren't there biohazard bins for masks and gloves? Which there would be if this was an actual biohazard, right? Well, could people get any dumber, crazier? It amazes them. Amazes me too. Because this is everywhere, guys. This is crazy. I mean, look, those are pool masks, right? That's what they are. Those are pool masks. That's what they're made for because they're special kind of fabric. Wow. But this is all over the place. Now, here is a compilation of studies, and as I keep showing you guys every time, let me just bring this up quick so you can see it for those that might be new. Every single daily wrap-up I put out has all of the mask studies that I talk about underneath them, all of them. And I even tend to redundantly put them in the links that I'll add, which go right here, if I talk about them on top of that. But here's the mask coverage from the T-Lab, which are really important. Here is the most recent ones, which includes that Science Direct one from Stanford, and the continually updating one from Swiss Policy Research, which constantly updates every month. Then it's got five NIH National Library of Medicine studies from 2004, 2020, each of them finding verifiable health effects from wearing a face mask, including scientifically verified reduction of blood oxygen level, exactly what the Science Direct study from Stanford also found in 2021 of January, that they have very clear issues of hypoxia, hypercapnia, on and on and on. But all five of them come to that same conclusion. The only cloth mask random controlled trial that you're going to find that comes to the clear conclusion that moisture increased your risk of infection, hence they shouldn't be used. That's what they recommend in 2015. And now we're using them anyway and seemingly making people more sick. Weird, like I guarantee you they know that. And then, of course, there's a bunch more than what I list here. But this is kind of a random smattering of some of the mask studies on efficacy. And every single one of them come to the conclusion that they are not statistically significant on transmission. Yes, some of them make arguments that they do have an effect, they do this, they do that. But the point is that they're not statistically significant in reducing transmission. And you combine all of these random controlled trials and peer-reviewed studies, and that's the science, guys. You don't take the one new model study that CDC did like a month ago and act like that counteracts decades of random controlled peer-reviewed science in the middle of a very politicized pandemic. I mean, that is childishly stupid, but that's what people are doing. But this is a quick wrap up that I just wanted to point out that somebody shared with me, showing you all these different studies. You can see 2010, 2012, 2014, 2008, and they're all random controlled, cluster randomized intervention trial. You know, and you can look through this yourself. The point is, all of them, as you can see, no significant reduction, no significant reduction, no significant reduction. I mean, it's the same threat. And here, this, you're being lied to, guys. And just in case anyone thought masks were ending at all, Nickel makes reads my mind. Think again. This is just one of many videos I found when searching smart masks on YouTube. Good for you, Nickel, because this is exactly what I didn't even see this until Nickel shared it. And it's an excellent point. It's exactly what I'm always saying. If we thought that we pretended this was some kind of fleeting moment, there wouldn't be entire industries. But look, we're a year into this. We're well past that argument. But people still pretend like it's going to go away tomorrow. There are entire industries that have reorganized their entire direction based on COVID-19. But let's pretend like it's just going to go away tomorrow. Let's talk about that next. These are what we're seeing. Project Hazel, a smart mask, right? This is not a joke. This is a real-time Internet of Things, 5G connected smart mask that can rate the air quality and God knows what else, and it's hurting you all the same. Probably even worse when you have Wi-Fi on your face, right? I mean, this is kind of stupid because we know that these things are causing issues. We know there's plenty of studies that talk about cell phones and the issues there, whether it's Wi-Fi or the emissions coming from your cell phone. I'm just blanking on the term. All of these things have shown to cause all kinds of problems. But yeah, let's put it right up against your mouth. I mean, it's just, this is not smart. But they're all over the place. These are all different products. Guess what? Will.i.am is selling his own smart mask. Yes, I don't like Will.i.am anymore. I'm going to be boycotting everybody by the end of the year. That's what we got to do. Because this is crazy. Now, my point about this was what we keep telling you. And this should have been back about the mask revolt point. I think I had this disjointed. I should have organized that. But the point is simply that these are damaging the planet. And I've been telling you, there were studies in the middle of 2020 that said that the PPE issue was at that moment catastrophic. That was their word. That this was a catastrophic issue that was damaging our planet to an exponential degree And you didn't hear a peep about it on the mainstream media. All those people that are screaming about climate change and the environment, where were all they? Where are they now? Why aren't they talking about this? Why didn't they talk about the multiple studies that came out in the middle of 2020 that said that we were hurting the environment, that we were drowning fish and hurting whales and ducks and fish and birds with our gloves and our masks? Because it's been happening for a year. And they don't care. So do they really care about the environment? Do they really care about climate change? And when I say that, you know my opinions on climate change and the politicized narrative they're in, but it doesn't mean that we are not hurting the planet. Those things, you can argue one and not the other, you understand. What we're doing is destroying the planet. And the people that are giving lip service and using those topics to push political agendas around the environment don't care about this. I don't know how that can be any more clear. At the very least, they don't care enough to say anything about it. And guess what? They're all the people pushing masks the hardest. Well, according to Science News, COVID-19 litter has become so pervasive that birds have been observed using face masks and gloves as building materials for their nests. And when you get into the actual article, as you can see from the picture, it's hurting them. They're getting tangled up. It's killing them. It's really bad for them. But nobody cares. No, the media doesn't care. The government doesn't care. And I believe that when I got this, I thought I had her tweet up. Maybe it's next. Guess not. But this was shared by Orwell Huxley. Oh, she commented down here. But basically just said, now you bring it up, right? And she's right, right? I mean, obviously, it's crazy to pretend like this is a news story and that we should care about it. But they didn't care about it then. They don't care about it now. They're going to keep pushing masks because that's the political agenda. And it feels better to them to virtue signal in their political circles than to actually care about the planet. The very thing they've been screaming about for time. I mean, it's so insulting. Where's Greta Thunberg? Why don't we care about these things, right? It's crazy. But I'm the conspiracy theorist, right? Now, this isn't really a point about masks, but I just felt like shoehorning this in because it's a little disturbing. But note that the girls are wearing masks in this video, but nobody else is. But also note, this is the only way I could find to kind of make this make sense in the masks part of this, that these girls are wearing masks, but weirdly not social distancing and not doing anything else. Why? Because everybody, as much as they argue different, wear the mask and act like everything goes back to normal. They believe once they wear the mask that they can do whatever they want because they're safe. Despite nobody ever really saying that, but the media making you believe that. Sort of like never actually blatantly saying that Iraq was responsible for 9/11, but clearly making everybody think Iraq was responsible for 9/11. Right? That's how they work. So this is the same kind of idea, is that people are wearing masks all over the place and just walking next to each other, hugging, talking, whatever. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't be doing those things. You know my opinion. They shouldn't be wearing a mask. But at the end of the day, if you're wearing a mask thinking that you're completely safe from everything else, you're an idiot, because that's not what even they're saying on top of wearing a mask, despite all the evidence. But check this out. This is crazy to me. It says children being paraded across the stage, urging them to pose in a Los Angeles drag club in the middle of the night. Now, I've done whole shows about this topic in the past. This is still happening. Now it's just COVID clown world version. But this is a woman at the club who's upset about this.
Oh, wait, hold on.
That's the end.
Why in the hell these people got these fucking little bitty ass kids
earmuffs
at this fucking drag show, y'all?
But it's 11:40
at night. It is 11:40 at night. And people have children.
11:40 at night.
In a fucking drag show in LA on a big
look at this thing. Woo! USA! USA!
Screaming USA? What? Look at this. Giving him money.
Telling her, get her fucking money. Look at this fucking bullshit.
Sorry about the cussing, guys. This is important to see.
Look at this bullshit now. Look, they're giving them fucking money.
And so we're clear. This is a trans drag dance. You know, that's what this is. This is about normalizing the same thing. This is wrong. This is child abuse. The same point I made before. If this was a grown man dancing with these kids, and that is a grown man, it's a drag. So yes, this is a man. My point is, in the context of perception, if this was a man dressed as a man, acting like a man, dancing with these children, people would flip out and lose their minds. But when it's a man dressed like a woman, well, then it's totally okay, because we want to normalize their ability to be whoever they want. No, what you're doing is influencing who you want them to be. That's what you're doing. and it's disgusting and wrong. Not being a drag person or trans. That's not what I'm saying. You can go, I respect your right to be in whoever you want. But when you're influencing young children to do something that changes them dramatically, that's wrong. Whether you're talking about sexuality or not.
Little girls now.
I mean, I didn't even know this is a woman at the club who also doesn't agree with this.
Look at this shit. Look at this shit. And fucking
throwing money.
Wait, hold on. I dropped the 20. Got them picking up fucking money off the floor like they fucking strippers and shit now.
God, that's just wrong, guys. I don't know why anybody could argue that that's not wrong. And it in no way is arguing that the person and their lifestyle is necessarily wrong. Now, plenty of people probably believe that, but the idea is that what's happening with these children is wrong. That's wrong. And that's not a contentious thing to say. And it's being allowed, right? Why are they allowed to be out at 11:30? Isn't it a COVID pandemic happening right now? I mean, what is happening? This is ridiculous, and it's all okay. Like, if you go out to riot because racism, well, that's okay then because that matters, right? But not about this over here, not about that over there. Like, it's crazy, and I know we all see it, and it's simply time to put this to bed. And this is Derek O'Connor, who I'm glad he got a lot of traction on this. I was sharing this earlier, and I'm glad it picked up. Just got suspended from work today, he says. I work outside doing a physical job. I refuse to wear a mask. Client kicked me off the site. My boss suspended me until they do an investigation. What is happening to the world? It says, so my boss that handed me my suspension letter was sitting in his office with another boss, both unmasked inside together. He handed me his suspension letter for not wearing a mask outside. Yeah, what's wrong with this, guys? And the point is, and so here's somebody trying to give him a hard time. You know, this Jane Doe, you're a bad person because you don't understand this and you're trying to give him a hard. He just lost his job for something that's not necessary, that is hurting his health because you don't understand how to read science. And I'm not saying that just because I interpret it my way. I'm talking about this being fundamentally obvious that we have plenty of PhDs, experts, doctors, scientists around the world, far more than you're seeing on the mainstream media, by the way, saying the exact truth. I'd love to, if Derek wants to reach out to me, I would love to talk to him about this because he deserves a platform to point this out. And the point is that this is happening everywhere. He's one person in a huge unsung hero, I guess you could use it for somebody, a grouping of people out there that are not giving a voice to because they don't have YouTube channels and they're just out there doing their job and they're getting fired for not doing something that they, I mean, in a normal time, this would have been a criminal that you could have taken this to court because there's no reason for this. And you're putting something on, you cannot tell someone to wear a non-pharmaceutical medical intervention outside when they're not sick. And even then you couldn't tell them to do that. You could tell them to go home if you thought they were sick. This is just crazy to me. And as I said, this is why the illusion continues, because we enforce it. This is not only illegal, it's immoral and unsafe. Vote with your dollar. Show these companies that this is unforgivable. Hashtag mask revolt. And if I knew what company it was, I would say hashtag boycott that company. One last point on masks before we wrap it up here. Masks made in China now come with a warning. Oh, what's that warning? Well, they make it clear that that they do not protect against coronavirus. Well, what do you know about that? May cause cancer, birth defects, and other reproductive problems. It's almost like China is getting ahead of this narrative, right? And so it's not a secret, though, because ours say the same thing as we keep showing you, that it will not provide any protection against COVID-19 or other viruses or contaminants. Why? Because the people who make these masks, they know that. And the big, massive agenda that's sweeping all around this is taking over that. The point is, they know they're liable. Remember, they put this on the box the moment this started. I showed you this in the middle or before of 2020, and they said COVID-19 on the side of the box of masks. So here's the point about China's. It says, non-medical disposable face masks. Here's what it says. There's a little glare between it, but it says, there is no express or implied guarantee for any virus protection. Shocker. Then it says this package can expose you to chemicals, including lead, which are known to the state of California to cause cancer and birth defects or other reproductive harm. made in China, right? So the point is 80% of these masks come from China, if you didn't know that, that the current country that the United States uses. So we're screaming that China is lying to everybody from one side of the political spectrum, but we're also using 80% of their masks to fight the thing we're telling us we're scared of, because that makes perfect sense, right? And you know the Republicans know this. So there's an illusion going on, like I'm always telling you. The point is that this is California. It says the state of California. So the state of California is telling you that they can't guarantee that these masks protect you from the virus. And they're also telling you that they may make you sick, just like I keep telling you. Yet I get censored for saying that. Welcome to clown world. Isn't that funny? Or terrifying? In any case, be happy that you're aware of what's really going on, right? Be happy that you can see this and you're not drowning in fake information and terrified of something that's not really happening in the way they say it is. Now, find the motivation to take that and bring it to somebody who needs it. Because every single day we do this show, we are reaching more people. They know that, and it scares them. Right now, we're doing a new TLAB Pirate stream on a new channel. And the point is that right now there's like a 5 or 6 other channels that are currently locked down because we were streaming on them. And they're going to keep doing that. And we're going to keep going to new ones. I've got 15 more people waiting in line. Come and join the Pirate stream. Hashtag TLAB Pirate stream. And we will continue to punch this onto YouTube. But hopefully everybody that follows this channel will go anywhere else. Because we don't like YouTube, because YouTube is a authoritarian pander, or as I say, oligarchy pandering platform that's only doing what they're told by the government and excelling out their users, you, me, the very people that made their platform, and they're selling them out because politics, because they're cowards. That's why. So we're going to keep doing this really just to kind of say, screw you. Go ahead and try and delete me. I'll be on another channel tomorrow. Guess what? The next day, I'm on another channel, and we'll keep punching this out on your platform just to poke it in your eye. And we're going to be everywhere else. We're going to be over on Super U laughing at your broken platform. So help me. Jump on. Help me do this and keep getting the truth out there even when they don't want it, because we're finding ways around them. And they can't stand it. I can tell you that right now. That was going to go over a whole part today in the beginning of the show to show you how I know that. But you know what? YouTube doesn't matter. So I'm done with that. I love you all. Thank you for being here. As always, question everything. Including me. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.